here's the 12 of those.
It's gonna fall.
This is gonna be a great day, right?
Yay,
all right, good. So a couple quick reminders. JD's the lead at 11 o'clock. So we're gonna have a hard transition on the agenda at 10 o'clock. We want to allocate an hour for council prior to discussion. So we're gonna ask all the presenters to be tight on their presentation, allocate time for Q&A. The charter, we're asking 20 minutes. Downtown project parking, 30. Parks and Rec, 20 and about. I think you said 45 minutes, somewhere 30, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then just a point, is always a good reminder, is, you know, yesterday was a good day of filling ourselves with information, and today is the conversation piece about priorities. So we want to, you know, encourage the conversation, but positive, you know, atmosphere of understanding and making sure that everyone has the opportunity to be heard. So we're going to try to make sure that happens today. Thank you guys for coming.
Nothing, it's great to start.
Okay. Catherine.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. My presentation is going to be on Scott Springs and how the skate park plays into this project. At our last city council workshop, we talked about the tennis center and some of the renovations we wanted to do there, and also the skate park. But I don't think we gave you a full picture of what the skate park means. The skate park is a catalytic project that puts Scott Springs on the map as a hub of recreational activity in Southwest Ocala. And why do we need a skate park at Scott Springs? One reason, we don't have any location for non-traditional sports at this time. We need legitimate activities at Scott Springs. I think we're all aware of some of the issues that we've had at Scott Springs and some of the unwanted activity. There's no other active public park serving the Southwest Core. We talked a little bit about the parks yesterday and the level of service. The skate park at Scott Springs fits in very well with the surrounding area. We have the theater there, we have the mall there. And then Scott Springs is very unique in the features that it currently has. I think we're all aware that it has a grotto in there. This project provides a combination of compatible outdoor recreation activities in one setting and dual usage of city property. So we'll be converting some stormwater retention into usable recreational space. So imagine all of this in one park. So we've got play equipment that will go in at the end of February, and it fits in with the nature theme of the park. This is some pictures of some skate parks. The dock, there's some plans to put a dock at Scott Springs, some mountain bike trails. The mountain bike trails will go in the current DRA that's there. By incorporating an adjacent DRA, and I'm going to show you a map in a second, but we have a very large DRA that holds water that is also part of Calla Hills. If we incorporate that, we increase our footprint by 20 acres. So this is kind of a snapshot of what Scott Springs will look like, but this is the layout. So here's the current entrance. 19th Avenue is over in here. As you come in right now, we want the skate park to be located here. That's just vacant space right now. If you'll recall, this road right here is already there. And due to the problems that we had, the unwanted activity, we actually had this blocked off from there, and this was unusable space because of the activity. And one of the issues that we had, it was very dense with all of the trees that are in there, so we partnered with the police department and have them come in there and give some suggestions on what to do as far as making it unattractive to the unwanted elements and attractive to the people that should be there. So one of the suggestions was to trim up all of the trees. So now when you go in there, used to when you couldn't see through anything, we trimmed up all of the trees. Trees are still there, but you can actually see through the bottom of it. So there's nobody hiding in there anymore. The new play equipment that we've got coming, which we brought to city council, will go right in here along with the picnic area. This is a city-owned DRA that holds water and it's currently completely fenced. We'll be taking this fence down and eventually building a dock here. Calla Hills, from their neighborhood, we're going to connect them to the walking trails. And they have built a dock on the other side of this pond that serves their neighborhood. So we're going to partner with them on that. But to tell you what's going on right now, these walking trails will be done in the next couple of weeks. They're out there now. Due to the rain, they would have been finished, but due to the rain, it slowed down a little. This area right now is a DRA and it's completely fenced. So in the next 2 weeks, this fencing is coming down. And we are working with Brooks Bicycle Shop and the Ocala Mountain Bike Association. They have graciously partnered with us free of charge to do a layout for a mountain bike trail right through here. As far as the work, we'll be doing that in-house. Stormwater has the equipment to do the bike trails. But the thought is, this is a park. This is, we call it basically a diamond in the rough. It has been underutilized. It attracted an unwanted element, and it has become a project that I think will really be a diamond for our city once it's complete. It's extremely unique. I didn't even talk about the Grotto that's right here, and we already have this decking in picnic areas. We're adding more picnic areas over here. I don't know if another city that has a meadow in the middle of the city in one of its parks, but I wanted to make sure that you understood the significance of the skate park to this park. It's one of the major elements in the transformation. So back when we had the budget workshops this past year, we had money set aside to do the design of the skate park, which was $200,000. And then we also had money set aside to do some of the renovations on the tennis courts. At that time, we hadn't talked to the recreation or the tennis commission. There was no other things that we needed to do. So council's direction at that time was go ahead and put that money in reserves until we can come up with a better plan for the use of as I said, we just had the workshop on the tennis court redesign. We received some direction. I think it's still a little bit up in the air. I think overall we would all love a regional tennis facility. Our immediate needs are the lighting on those courts, which we did budget for. And then in the following year, 2015, we are budgeting to add the four clay courts and then also the parking lot. And Cindy's here to discuss some of the financing. We do have money for these projects. The decision point is, there was some discussion at the last workshop, well, okay, we understand we have all these projects, but let's finish projects, you know, instead of spreading it all out. And my point here today is that I wanted to show you what the skate park means to Scott Springs and completing that project. So the decision point would be, do we continue with the plan and go ahead and do the skate park design? And understanding it is, yes, it's $200,000 for design, but what that design does, it gives us a tool to present to the private sector as far as partnering and maybe sponsoring this. It gives us a tool as far as grants that shows that we have the land, we have a design, we're serious about putting this skate park in. We feel like the design is hugely important to moving this project forward and to finishing Scott Springs. We do think we can get a $30,000 grant from the county to assist us with that. They have no skate parks. They have a grant program that we can apply for, but those don't give us $30,000. In our initial talks with them, we do think we can probably get the $30,000. But that's basically it. We'll be looking for some direction as far as if we are able to continue with including the skate park in Scott Springs, or if we want to divert that money to other projects. Again, we feel like we can do the designs at the skate park. We can do the lighting at the tennis courts, which is desperately needed right now, and then also add the four clay courts to the existing tennis center with the thought and knowing the direction that eventually we would like a regional tennis facility.
Question. How are we doing on keeping the unwanted elements out of Scott Springs right now?
We're doing much better. Much better. As I said, we partnered with OCT. They've helped us tremendously. We've put cameras in the parks. With the trimming up of the trees, there's really no place to hide. There's still a couple of areas, but the more we get people into that park utilizing it, the less that element will be there.
Sure. When was the last semester?
It wasn't that long ago. Part of the problem with that park initially, because of the way it was and because of the elements that it attracted, these guys have websites. And they, and they'll chat about, hey, this is a good place to go, this is not a good place to go. Well, I mean, we monitor those websites. When we initially made the big push where they cut all the trees and we went in there and made a bunch of arrests, the websites were blowing up of don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. So now, basically all we're doing is maintenance, just like, you know, occasionally we'll make an arrest at Tuscarora, or we'll make an arrest at Derby here. So we'll run people through there every now and then, and you know, sometimes we'll find people, most of the times we're not. But with the improvements that have been made there and that camera system that we put in there, which we're going to expand, really it's made a huge, huge difference. This is a great idea.
Okay.
Sure.
I like the concept of Scott Springs. A little concerned about the $200,000 design. I'm not the missile, I can't understand why it's so expensive. What I would like to see happen, I want to see the tennis courts, if it's being licensed, and they come back and do something here, because I'd like to see a potential fund. I realize we don't have money to do both here, but you know, I'd like to see where else we can find money to maybe do both these projects. Thank you, Seth. And in order to continue the regional tennis facility, Fort King, in my opinion, would be the first step. The second step would be to go back to Fort Catherine, Tuscarora, and increase the size of that one too. So when you do bring in tournaments, which is a pretty good economic thing for this area, you would have two inner-city tennis centers. They could hold pretty good sized tournaments. Everybody pretty much meet local. I think you've got the room in Tuscarora. Now, that's a little bit for the future, obviously. Fort King, Scott Springs, Tuscarora down the road. I understand there's an existing Little League field there, and I understand people play there all their lives. If that can still be moved around, and more tennis courts put there in the future. But the priorities, in my opinion, should be Fort King, as much as we can do with Scott Springs. There's got to be a better way to design $200,000. That's just missing something. So I think there are
I agree with John. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Is there any private, I've heard of all the private people wanting to put in a skate rink or skate.
We
board, skate board.
Right. We had a local church approach us about wanting to put one in, but they want it in the downtown area, and they also want to be able to go and witness to people. That's their point of having the skate parks, is that they're there on a regular basis to witness to people, and that they kind of crosses the line between
I'm just thinking, is there any other private group, something we could partner with us on something for the skate park?
Well, that's one reason we want the design. We want to be able to fit together for those
ones. $200,000 is a lot of money.
I would bring you back some additional information on that. We have researched it, and that's the going rate for designing a skate park. It's just, you know, it's a specialized design that not a lot of people do.
I understand. Yeah. But I still think it's something. I'm just not happy with that. But we do need a skate board somewhere.
We do, you know, and you were in that recognition meeting, and one of the things that came up when we brought the skate park up again, they actually kind of laughed at us and said, really, we've been talking about this for a decade. When we started talking about this, there was one lady there that said, my children were in elementary school and they just graduated college and we're still talking about a skate park. We have a meeting a year ago, a community meeting to discuss the skate park, and it was standing room only. There's a tremendous interest in it, and we just...
I didn't realize how big it is.
Right. And if you go around town, you know, there's a saying, if you don't have a skate park, your city is a skate park. And we've seen that at City Hall and Citizen Circle. We've got those medallions everywhere now. It's because the skateboarders are coming in and they're riding on our railing. We had one mother sitting in the parking lot. She drove up, dropped her kids, and was sitting there waiting on them. She just assumed it was okay to ride their skateboards all over Citizen Circle. So the thought is, you know, the community has asked for this for over a decade, and we're putting it forward for consideration.
I have no problem with the location and what you're talking about. I'm just talking about the money right now.
What else? Go ahead, Doctor.
Let me say this. First of all, we can look into the design and see if there are better options on how to get that price. And then I'd like to see all the other improvements done to Scott's Place. As we get the design for the skate park, maybe that's something we can build a section of time. I don't know how to work. But as for the tents, the reason why I'm stressing this is we need something in the city of Ocala that will bring people from out of town. And I think first development, council, whatever, that's something for that board too, but if we can do that, that's going to put us to the next level. And the first step of that is full cable, which needs to be done anyway. I don't know where we can find the extra, but maybe the staff will take some time to look around and see if there's a way to both of them. Obviously, we won't be able to do full cable to the level that we want to do. But close.
And that's my question. So when you say the 14, are you talking about adding the four clay courts or the two park courts?
Adding the four clay, redoing the lighting and the arrangement of how it sits there.
Okay.
As for the road work and
the parking lot, we've got it figured out where we can do this, and I don't have it on the big screen, but so where the two park courts are or the eight park courts are now, we would convert these two and build two more clay courts here. The parking lot would go here and the new entrance would be here. So this is the plan that we can fund with the lighting. But it's, you know, it's new standing up. The lighting, obviously we have the money for this year, the courts, we would think it would take us up, and we would put it up next year, in the upcoming. So we can do all of that.
Right. And that'll give us time to get this put in, we come up with really jive.
Correct.
Well, and because I see so many people playing tennis, and I understand there's a great skateboard. Typically, skateboarders don't come in from out of town and stay in hotels and stuff like that. You know, tennis people do. Firsthand, I've seen it over at Daytona. Greg, I know you've been over there also. It's a tremendous amount of money that these people stay. We won't have tournaments, but Ludlow Daytona, right. We'll be on somebody's map.
Right, well, with the addition of the skateboards, that does allow us to have our tournaments here, not at the level we want to, but it will allow us to have tournaments here, and then on down the, you know, we understand the direction that we will be looking to have a regional.
As long as we can do the lighting to where it's going to fit with the future. You know, if the future's going to be four more clay courts there, then I'd like to see the lighting at least.
Absolutely.
And, you know, in reality, it's probably going to be the lighting, the drainage, and the parking first, and I guess if I could do it.
Yeah, it would be part of the overall plan, and then obviously, after you say it's given but we think we can do it within this budget year and next budget year. This is what we're talking about.
I mean, drainage, things of that nature, that probably should come out of water and sewer budget.
Stormwater. You're right, Malcolm won't complain about that.
Yeah, but it does make sense. I mean, you know, again, 14 years ago they had to give up a property, but 14 street was redone, and so on. Getting back around stormwater for different place.
Let me ask a couple questions to kind of verify what we're hearing. We recognize that skating is important, that we need to have some type of venue within the city somewhere. If we try to blow that venue, probably located in Scott Springs Park. But I'm hearing it, and maybe that a regional tennis center might be of higher value, higher priority. And if that's the case, should we redirect $200,000 to design a regional tennis facility? Location, the layout, timing of the project, is that what I'm hearing?
I voiced that at the workshop. I think that's one of the things, that's one of the brings is the quickest economic impact is between that. And I understand, I talked to people about the skateboard park and all that stuff. Didn't realize some of the high level people are behind that, but it's kind of one of those things that you don't have to wait. You know, you don't have one money to spend, but then it will give us the quickest impact.
Ultimately, the day you finish the tennis center, you still have the fence courts. Mm-hmm. So it's a project that's going to be ongoing. But at least we can get to that next level to start with. But we've got to be shot from the stick. Mm-hmm. And how do we do that? How do we get do most of the work? Bike trails and everything else. But the whole work.
Yeah, the bike trails will be done. That's already happening.
And the cleanup's already in progress. So
correct.
I don't want to see the skate park.
I don't want to hold it because there are a lot of good people behind us. So trying to figure that out.
I don't want to redirect it. We've got 200,000. I don't know if I want to redirect it to the port, to a master, to the point of playing for tennis. I mean, we're going to accomplish a lot by getting four new court, play courts and new lighting. That'll accomplish a lot. Solid. But stay the course on the mile. You know, design for the skate park and encourage you to do like a price.
I think really, I was just here on the council. I think we were we just need to find a way to. Maybe that's the direction. Let's see what we can do in both and make, find some money to make them both out.
I want to ask a question. Is there any way to park for somebody to do the design work with the skateboard people or? The private group, not the church group.
Well, we're certainly going to try. And like I said, we feel like the design gives us the tools to apply for some of the grants that are out there. Certainly, we'll look to see if we can lower that design cost. And part of that is being able to do an RFP for the design. That will give us an idea if we can get a lower price. This is just from the research that we've done. And that's basically what they say the preliminary.
You can't get a grant unless you have a design, right?
know, sometimes we can. It puts you in a better position a lot of times. It says that you're serious, you have a piece of land, you have a design, it's like shovel ready, you're ready to go. You need the additional funding, and our thought is, we can get the design, we want to put together some proposals to present to people in the private sector that may be willing to sponsor the building of it. And at one point, we talked about, you know, we might even be able to get, you know, one business to give us the concrete, you know, through donations and giving them some recognition for helping us build this. But until we show we're serious, and I can tell you, even the Rec Commission didn't think we were serious because we've been talking about it for so long, and we haven't acted on it. So this would say, we are serious, we have a great plan, and we're ready to move forward, we just need funding, and we will look at the private sector, at grants, we will be looking everywhere for that funding.
Because they can be serious all they want, and we are too, if you're not able to fund it.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that's the staff, a little bit innovative, and let's look and see where we can.
I've just heard so many people talk about, they love to put money in and run it. And I don't know if you could do that on our property.
This isn't actually, what you saw is, it's not necessarily planned, you don't charge to go to it.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen the one in Gainesville, very much like the one I showed you here. And the Tony Hawk grant, that's one of the grants we'd love to have, but they won't give you the grant if you require children to wear helmets. And that's one thing that we're not comfortable with. We feel like they, you know, we'll have the park rangers in there, we'll have a set of rules, and then there's also some.
So in summary, what I'm hearing the wishes of council are, is to seek both the state park and the regional tennis facility simultaneously, try to reduce the design costs of the state park as much as humanly possible, perhaps find additional partners that might be able to offset that cost, as well as proceed forth with the additions to 14 Tennis Center, including the lighting and additional courts, as revealed this morning.
Understanding that's your process.
Yes, so, yes, yes.
Getting those projects done might cause a delay or a change in our current five-year plan.
We work that out. So is that the game plan right now? There are a couple of that. Okay.
All right. I just want to iterate again. We need to look at the private sector.
Partnerships.
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Let's move on to city charter. Go ahead. If you're talking about this course, you're talking about Scott Springs, and this affects citizens of the city. Most everyone uses this park from time to time, whether it's a golf course, a tennis court, Scott Springs, you're getting people in the city to be sure. And that's why those things are huge problems. These are the people paying for this. Good to get them back with the public vote.
There's plenty of room.
Either way.
Before we get started, Mark asked me to address the question y'all had yesterday on annexations, and that concerns whether tenants can vote. Yes, they can, as long as they're registered to vote within the area to be annexed.
So if you have a property owner who owns a home and there's a renter in it, not both parties can necessarily.
So the property owner should not be registered to vote in that precinct if the property owner's not living there. Instead, he, she, or they should be registered to vote wherever they live, which is supposed to register to vote where they live.
But only those that are registered within that defined area, if it was a referendum, would be eligible?
Yes, although there are, under the statute, you can also have a referendum for the entire city.
Right.
Which is, I believe, how West Ocala was annexed at one point. But in any event, typically you only referendum within the area to be annexed. So tenants can vote, owners can vote. There should not be the possibility of double voting because they should not be registered that way.
Jimmy, so if a husband and wife live within the proposed annexation area, both registered, they can both vote?
Sure. Okay, I've been asked to address the city charter, specifically where we go from here. I want to thank Ty Chigazola, who's not here, for preparing this outline. He did most of it. I just helped with some of the options. Last year, we made significant revisions to the city charter, which we'll go at in a little bit. First slide shows what is the city charter. It's what establishes the city. It was established by a special act adopted by the legislature. Most recent one has been done in 1967. Since then, it's been amended. One of the things that a city charter should do that ours did not, at least until last year, is deal with issues involving the basic structure of government, how officials are elected or appointed, and limitations on the powers of government. When our charter was adopted, it was before home rule, so at that time, charters contained other provisions, most of which should be dealt with in the code of ordinances, and many of them now are. They are not in the charter, although we do have a few things that still are in the charter. Last year, we thought that confusing, unnecessary, or unenforceable provisions should be deleted. Most of those, again, were things that would not typically be found in a modern charter, such as creation of a planning director, provisions that are adequately dealt with by state law elsewhere, such as financing, bonding, hospital districts, things like that. Because the city of Ocala has home rule, we do not need in our charter express grants of power that we now have under home rule. So last year we did mainly a cleanup on those. In one case, elections, council believed that substantive changes were needed. We'll get into that in a little bit. Under the Home Rule Powers Act, the city can amend by ordinance most of the charter provisions, except those that are on the screen, the most significant of which are the ones that deal with elected officers, how they're elected, and the distribution of power among them, rights of city employees, and things that were previously changed by a referendum. There were 5 ballot referendums last year. We'll go into each of these in just a little bit. 2 of them passed, 3 of them didn't. The first one dealt with elections. It was the most significant and the most controversial one. It did a couple of things, most of which were housekeeping. Clarified city council residency requirements. We cleaned up some time periods, but we also got into 2 areas that we'll get into a little bit later on that proved to be controversial, and it lost pretty handily. The next one was a deletion of provisions regarding the Downtown Development Commission. This one passed. This, again, is one of those areas that had the charter been adopted after home rule, would not have been necessary for it to be in the charter, but because it did deal with an appointed board, it was one of those that required a referendum. Our city code now deals with downtown development issues. The charter actually permitted you to get rid of the DDC, which you did by ordinance. This just deleted the extraneous charter provisions, and that one passed. The next one was a housekeeping one. If any of them passed, this one should have, but it didn't. The charter dealt with provisions that are governed by state law, actually preempted by state law. So in most of these, the city charter was not even effective, and that dealt with annexation. We deleted all the annexation provisions in the charter. We also did add a deadline for the city council to pass an ordinance over the mayor's veto. Right now, the charter doesn't deal with that issue. That one, this would have established a 120-day period. It failed close, but it did fail. We call this one the housekeeping ordinance. We'll come back to it later on. The next one is the mayor and police provision. This also we thought would be non-controversial. The current charter, in essence, provides that the police department through and the mayor enforce all city ordinance provisions. In fact, we know that it doesn't. We've got the municipal code enforcement board that also has enforcement authority. The building and planning department enforce other ordinances. This was primarily a housekeeping. It also removed city council's ability to appoint special policemen since you've never done it. This one failed. We'll talk about it in a little bit too. We call this mayor of police. The next one passed. This deleted obsolete provisions concerning the planning director, PNC, and board of adjustment. It passed 5149. Most important point on this one is city council adopted five other ordinances that did not require a referendum. Last year's council adopted quite a significant number of housekeeping changes to the charter that deleted extraneous things or things that had preempted by state law. So despite the defeat of three of the five referendum proposals, last year's council did do a fairly significant leap in streamlining our charter. We've got some statistics here, pretty low turnout. With just the absentee vote, it appears that they were passing, but some things happened on election day that resulted in failing. If y'all want to consider a future referenda, the next county election, this is a primary, is August of this year. General election, obviously, is in November. The next city election is in October 2015. We'll talk about both of these in just a little bit. We think that y'all have several options concerning what to do about the charter, the things that did not pass. The first one is to pursue a referendum in 2014 or 2015 to address the police mayor and the housekeeping matters, but do not deal with the subject of elections. Again, we thought these were non-controversial. The perception among the community is that controversy over elections, then in these, perception has been shared with me by the leader of the group that opposed the election ones. He said they can't really care about the others, but they think that they inadvertently defeated them. Even though we don't have a city election this year, we could do referendum in connection with the federal, state, and county primary or general elections, or we could actually do a mail ballot. The election supervisor has expressed concern about us piggybacking on their elections because there are some precincts where people are registered in the city and the county, and so he will have a difficult time, he indicated, handling a mixed election in 2014. If we did it with the city election in 2015, that would not be a problem. So the first option, referendum to address police, mayor, and housekeeping, but not elections. Second option is like that, but include the non-controversial election matters. The issues that drew the most controversy, both in the press, through letters to the editor, editorials, and in the forums that people attended, were those that dealt with eliminating runoffs for special elections and the procedures for filling vacancies in the electoral positions, and for that matter, in elective positions. There were no other issues that anybody had any questions about in the forums I attended or Todd indicated at the forums that he attended. So if we drop the controversial issues from the election proposals, there's a possibility of including that one in a referendum this year or next year too, dealing with the other two. The third option is to appoint a charter review commission to review the city charter and recommend changes. Some cities and counties provide for regular review of their charters by such commissions. I've done a quick survey. Some of them require a review every 4 years. Others require a review every 10 years. There's several in between. Sometimes commissions are appointed on an ad hoc basis, particularly if there's a pressing problem. For example, in many small communities that started out with five city council people and a mayor as one of those, and the mayor performing the duties that would currently be served in Ocala by the city manager, they would appoint a city charter commission to decide what's their next step as they become a bigger community, in light of the fact that the mayor doesn't have time to run the city. So those are some examples of ad hoc changes, or if there's a huge public controversy over some perceived problem with the local government, they'll appoint a commission ad hoc. These commissions generally are composed of citizens appointed by local governments. The city staff provides support. publicity through the web pages, use of public property, legal counsel, but the commission makes the decisions on its own. The city council and staff does not obviously tell them what to do. And in most of the cases, their recommendations are automatically placed on the ballot. In other words, in most cases, they don't make recommendations to y'all and y'all then decide what to do. In most cases, their stuff goes directly on the ballot, at which time it's voted on. Again, I've done some reading on these. Most of the perceived advantages of these, it provides a fresh view of the city charter by outsiders. It enhances confidence in the public and in the elected officials, for that matter, that the charter is up to date. And it reduces the perception that changes are proposed by politicians or political insiders. Some of the disadvantages are, one reason why we haven't done this in the past is that there's a general perception that the form of government that we have under our city charter operates well, and that problems that we have are not caused by charter deficiencies, but by operational issues. The next is the commission could propose the controversial or divisive changes or those that further clutter the charter. Sometimes commissions, both the state constitutional commission, if y'all recall, it meets every 20 years, I believe. Sometimes they propose things that are somewhat of a surprise to be included in a charter or a constitution, and some commissions do this. Final issue with it is the expenses associated with staff and legal support. If council opts for this route, we can bring back a proposal for how they be selected, how they perform duties, the time frame for them, etc. But that's the third option, is appointing a charter review commission. I know I'm going fast, but I'm going to totally try and do that. Final option is to do nothing. The current charter provisions concerning the police, mayor, and housekeeping matters are not interfering with our operations. Particularly the housekeeping things are already preempted by state law, most of them, and so we can't enforce the charter provisions anyway. The election provisions have been problematic. If y'all recall, there was some controversy when the former council person, Priester, was removed from office, whether or not, in fact, the charter required his removal. The elections proposal that was defeated at the referendum would have resolved that issue. And then there's other problems that we have, scheduling runoffs and special elections that conflict with state law, but they're not critical. In other words, it's not something the city's going to stop operating or we'll be unable to do elections if we don't fix. So the final option is to do nothing. And it's up to y'all as to what you want to do.
I'll start. But at this point, I'd like to see a committee put together. And let's look at these things and whoever the opposition was, the main opposition, probably like to make sure he's on. And let's take a look at the same, maybe try to get those things back on 15.
My recommendation is 15 so that we stay good graces with the supervisor election.
Yeah, I thought that. And at least we can get the citizens' input this time. Although if we had a work meeting, they could have had input there. And then just, some of these things still can take care of. But,
yeah. I don't want to blame everything on Brian. The fact of the matter is his effort was supported by a number of local officials, some of whom have been on this council before. Mayor Urkel thought it was a bad idea to get rid of the special elections.
I'm looking at against some of the things that are going on. Mayor Urkel, those of you who look to be on this, and of course, Ty, and whatever legal counsel needed.
I initially thought that the election partner, the commission for charter, was. So I don't participate in that. The most important thing we thought we could do was eliminate problems. We'll never get eliminate problems, and I'm okay with that. So therefore, it's a huge time commitment. It's Richie Hopper's sitting there.
That's the new part of it. What's the negative?
sure you'll find something else to
So therefore, I would be more inclined to either do nothing or pursue the citywide election for the first two housekeeping issues in 2000.
I don't sort of agree with that. I think there's a whole lot of confusion that was brought forward. People didn't understand. You really need to keep the runoffs in there. So I would say do nothing.
So, I'm okay with that.
But what about when you want to ask the housekeeping?
But I see that on the 16th.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Especially if we can take some of that money you spent on lawyers.
Well, I mean, I just think if you get a commission, I agree with Jimmy. Right now, our former government is working pretty good. It's not closed. If you get a commission, you don't know what can of worms they're going to open up, and you don't have any restrictions on them, really. Correct, Jimmy? I mean, they can go down whatever avenue they want to go down.
Yeah, but it is still subject to voter approval.
That's still tracked. But meanwhile, the clock's ticking.
Well, what about this? What about, you know, after time puts everything together, we're going to test to get along into the end of this coming year. We have a workshop, and we know a lot of what the opposition was. Invite them to the workshop and say, what about this? And give them stuff ahead of time. And let's just do that without having to see if we can get it across.
Okay, does this include the non-controversial election things or leave elections out of it totally?
The non-controversial election, but
not everything's non-controversial.
Well, we thought that all of them were, but the referendum thing turned out to be pretty controversial. The first option was just go with police, mayor, and housekeeping. The second option was police, mayor, and housekeeping, and non-controversial election. I'm trying to figure out which one y'all are favoring.
You can add non-controversial elections, but if you do that, if you do get a workshop, you know, the community leaders invited.
Once they're going to pass.
Just one thing, if one of the things I just thought of while y'all were doing it, again, this is a Matt issue more than it is mine, but these commissions are usually encouraged to have meetings, not just at the city hall, but also throughout the community with various interested groups, and perhaps staff could incorporate that type of effort in these, if for no other reason, to explain it better. Some people have said that the police mayor thing is misunderstood by the police union, or that they were motivated by other issues, and perhaps we can meet them on that subject to make sure there's no problem there.
And they weren't confused. I met them.
Okay. While they were carrying signs,
fire union said that it was the fire
union. It may have been the fire union, but I met with the police union, and okay. Everybody who called me about that, I told them vote for it. It matters none. To us, it mattered none. And
I would advise there are police union people out there carrying no signs on that one, but maybe it's a fire union. Do we need the fire union?
Yeah, my guys were, I'd met with them, they were good.
Yeah.
Jimmy, can you speak to, you mentioned something earlier, people being registered in both the city and the county?
Yeah, here's the supervisor's issue, is that there are some precincts where both city people and county people are registered to vote. And that if those people, if on the election day, the county, the 2014 primary or general election day, people show up to vote in those precincts, it will be administratively difficult for the elections people there to say whether or not you can vote on these city charter issues.
So that for the precinct expands?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what Ty said, the supervisor said.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from council then is to go into a holding pattern until later this year, and then we get into maybe the fall season, see if we can't roll hearing the non-controversial issues out, meet with some key stakeholders, leaders, kind of get their input, and then based on the input, look at placing these two referendums back on the council, excuse me, the city election for the fall of 2015.
Right.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Right.
Okay.
Matt, you want me to stay for any other issues? I don't know which I'll do yesterday.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you work this?
Sure.
All right.
next item, downtown CRA projects and parks and grounds.
If you would take one each, but I don't have enough for everyone. I'd like the council members to make sure they have a copy. I think there was maybe 8 or 9. Stu, you could probably grab one. It's going to be the same thing that's shown overhead. Matt, did you want to provide any introductory comments?
I will. John stepped out. John, council president, asked that this item be placed on the agenda for discussion. He asked that we take a look at, you know, what we've done in the downtown in the past, what we are currently involved in doing in downtown, and then have a discussion about the parking garage, key policy issues on that.
Thank you. So the very first slide, you probably are familiar with this image. This is an image that is included in the 2004 Downtown Master Plan. And I'm showing this image because, if you recall, the 2004 Master Plan identified a number of capital projects that we've been working towards implementing since 2004, several of which have occurred. The Master Plan called for Streetscape along State Road 40 to be completed, Streetscape along Fort King and Broadway to be completed, the Marion Theater to be renovated to become the major entertainment focus for downtown. It identified other catalytic sites for private sector development, which we've been working on, as you know, for a number of years. Include all the various projects, such as the possibility of locating potential parking garages. It wasn't really exactly site-specific, but just recognized the need, perhaps, to have several garages over time. Since 2004, there's been quite a bit of activity downtown, most recently, of course, with the city's efforts to bring art and culture to downtown. That's supported through many different initiatives. Bringing the Marion Cultural Alliance downtown to have to house their home there has had an impact. Bringing in an arts coordinator and cultural arts coordinator, Recreation and Parks has had a significant impact. As you know, we have the First Friday Art Walk. We recently had the sculpture competition. Bringing FAFO back town has had a big impact in downtown. And there's many more things that have occurred and are going to occur in the future. Of course, renovation of the Marion Theater was significant. The majority of those funds to renovate the building were provided by the private sector. There have been some ongoing city costs associated with that project over the years. But most recently, of course, as you know, a private entity is operating the theater. We do provide some degree of support. There has been a number of special events at the Marion Theater. Some of you have participated in them. We talked about some of them briefly yesterday, the Great Gatsby event, World War Z, playing, so on and so forth. Most of those events, the costs of which are borne by the private sector. Some nominal costs are provided by the city in terms of staff support. For those events, they've had a lot of success. Usually in those events you see somewhere between 100 and 400 people that come downtown for those events and you know, go to shows at the theater. And so I know the Sotos, who are managing, are very appreciative of those events. Another campaign that was launched last year is our Feel Downtown Live concert series. So we're in the first year of that, the first, not fiscal year, but the first year of that event. We had the fall concert series last year. We think it went very well. We had a few very recognizable names as far as performances. We had Edwin McCain, Need to Breathe, and Little River Band. They are all very well attended. You have somewhere in the range of 2,500 to 3,500 people that come into Citizen Circle for those larger events. We've had some smaller events, including some that were moved to the downtown square. The feedback from the citizens has been extremely positive, including the electronic communications and the Facebook. One of the nice things about bringing in some of these larger bands is, for example, Need to Breathe here. When we bring in a larger band, we become part of their tour, so to speak, or their network. And so not only are we advertising locally for our concerts, but they're advertising by virtue of us being on their tour advertising our events. And Need to Breathe, for example, they took a number of photos, and then citizens who attended the events took photos, and they had a location where you could upload to their website, citizen photos. So you had hundreds of photos going up from people in our community just sharing the event and sharing it with their friends. And so that's great promotions and marketing for the city of Ocala. Need to Breathe also, this little image here on the bottom of your screen, you know, it's interesting, they were sold out in New York and Birmingham, Nashville and Washington, and these are all paid shows, and Ocala was a free show for Need to Breathe. And so it's nice to be listed among some of these larger communities. In fact, Need to Breathe brought in people from outside of Florida to our event. All of our concerts brought in people from throughout Florida and other locations. Some of them came in from out of state as well. Our Feel Downtown website, as you know, is the major electronic portal to our citizens and the internet. We have quite a bit of activity on that website. We post all our concert series. We have benefits for local, you know, discount tickets for restaurants, etc. We've had, I think it's, about 41,000 visitors to that site since its launch. Our biggest month was in October, a little over 6,000. So it's a great way for us to be able to communicate what we're doing, for example, Light Up Ocala and other activities that we're having. It's increasingly being used by the public. By the way, before I talk about Gibbs, also just recently the Downtown Business Alliance has voted unanimously that they support what we're doing in terms of our regional events. We think it's had a big impact to them. We're trying to gather information from the businesses about what impact do they have on a night when we have a concert. So we continue to try to work with them. Also, recently, as you're aware, Gibbs prepared a retail market analysis downtown. And this analysis, he's going to be coming in February to present the results of this analysis. The report is available, and here's the link for it. We can also provide you copies if you would like. We'll have them for you at the workshop as well. The summation of his analysis is that he's very bullish on downtown. He believes that over the next several years, we've got about 86,000 square feet of additional retail and restaurant development that can be absorbed downtown, which we believe should generate about $28 million in new sales downtown, which could grow. That's, in his analysis, somewhere between 25 to 40 new stores. But that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be new stores. That also could be absorbed within some of the existing businesses if they started adding additional product lines or addressing some of the categories that you see listed here. And these are further broken out, and there's more information in the analysis. But that's good to know as we continue to try to market downtown and work with some of our development groups. The bottom line is all of those things are resulting in additional traffic downtown and the need for your continued consideration of parking. In addition to those projects, of course, we have our catalytic project we're working on the former chamber site with Ocala Development, with Mr. McBride and the Sprint building, and the potential future development of the balance of the Sprint site with either of those developers. And then, you know, as you know, we've been talking about the possibility of a parking garage on the Bank of America site. This is just you've seen this before, this is just a quick snapshot of Sandy's project. Sandy's been done, he's completed his due diligence. We will be bringing something back to you in terms of our workshop with Mr. McBride. And we continue to work with Sandy on trying to work out their details for that presentation. His cost of this project currently is about $3.7 million. He's looking at, if you recall, about 18 new residential condominium units downtown. Residential is important. The 2004 master plan indicated that, you know, that is one of the major segments we're missing downtown, is having we have a work environment, but we need to also have a live and play environment downtown. Cala Development continues to work on their project. We are getting ready to send back to them a second revision to the development agreement. That's a very complicated project, a lot of moving parts and pieces. We continue to make progress. Their project's about a $12 million project they're looking to finance through a variety of means. They're also in the process of conducting a second feasibility study for their project. Just wanted to bring to your attention, especially for the new council members, that we've looked at parking over the years. Back in 2009, 2010, we had a consultant work with us to do what was really the first time we had done a demand analysis, which was very important. A supply-demand analysis of parking downtown. You hear a lot of people say we don't have enough parking, a lot of people say we do have enough parking, and we try to help come up with a quantifiable means of having that discussion. Recognizing parking downtown is a very elastic thing depending on the time of day and time of year, right? So in the morning you may have available parking, at lunchtime you may have a shortage, so on and so forth. Their summation of their analysis was that we have approximately a deficit of 262 parking spaces within the parking exempt zone, which they believe will increase over the next 5 to 10 years. We share that belief. Parking exempt zone, for sake of discussion, is plus or minus 2 blocks each way, north, south, east, and west of the downtown square. It's a little variation on that, and recently council expanded that after this analysis was done. But the analysis also said that if you look outside the exempt zone, look beyond that area, and start taking in the additional parking spaces, that there actually is a sufficient supply of parking spaces for the given uses that we have downtown. And so what does that mean? That means that in some aspects, people don't like to walk a distance in Ocala. As you know, if you travel to major metropolitan areas, major cities, it's very common you can park and walk 6-8 blocks. It's not uncommon that people do that every day. In Ocala, people don't like to walk more than a block. Case in point is, you'll know, we built a temporary parking lot across from Citizen Circle. I don't remember the exact number. I want to say it's about 70 parking spaces. That lot largely sits vacant all day long. It's free parking. And we have tried to encourage, for example, employees to park there because they won't have to pay anything. And it's only a couple blocks away from where most of them work, and they won't do it. So it's a challenge. After the demand analysis was done, we had a parking garage feasibility study that was done, and several of you were here, I think, at council when we worked on that. But the summation of that analysis was that 5 sites were analyzed for a potential future garage. They were all ranked. The top 2 ranked sites were site A on this diagram and site B. This is the property owned by Mr. Murphy, and this is what we refer to as the Bank of America site. Both garages would not support the same capacity of cars. Obviously, this is an entire block, and this is a half a block. So you could fit quite a bit more cars or vehicles in this garage than you could in this garage. If you recall, we started to negotiate and try to work a deal with Mr. Murphy. There was some concern from the DBA and other property owners and business owners about that proposed approach. Council directed staff to stop moving forward with that, which we did. Under the current negotiation with Ocala Development, they have made it clear that their expectation is if they are to build a hotel on the chamber site, that there would be a parking garage built, and their desire is for that garage to be built on the Bank of America site. You also are aware that that property recently came into local ownership, which we think is a very good thing. We are continuing to talk to them about the possibility of locating a garage on that site in support of the chamber project. This is just one floor plan, a conceptual plan of how that garage might work. There is a possibility of incorporating some retail space into the garage, perhaps facing Broadway. This is Broadway right here. This is the Bank of America building. You can have somewhere in this garage, depends on how you want to go on it in terms of levels, somewhere between about 315 and 380 spaces, also depending on whether you put retail space into the garage or not. What we did in this spreadsheet is just try to show you different scenarios. It really also depends on a couple other factors. What do you want the garage to look like? Does it look like a very sort of vanilla garage, or does it look more like a building? If it looks like a building, then you know you could be looking at cost of somewhere up to $20,000, $21,000 per stall to construct that garage. If you want it to be very vanilla, not look like a building, then it could cost maybe somewhere around $12,000 per stall. Obviously, also, it depends on the geotechnical. We are trying to work with the current property owner to let us go on that site and perform a geotechnical analysis. If you remember when they built the Judicial Center, they ran into a bunch of caverns, and that increased the cost of that project. They had to run pilings to support that structure. So we've run a couple different scenarios. This is just a very high-level analysis. We haven't sat down with bond council to figure this out, but what we've said here is, you know, based on these numbers and these number of stalls, this is what we think the construction cost would be. Let's assume we put down 20% towards that cost. This is what the annual debt service would be. That doesn't include retail space, if we were to have to build that out. Doesn't include the design cost. Doesn't include financing costs. And we have not included operating costs in these numbers. So you just have a quick picture of what those numbers would look like. The question that we have for you, yes, sir.
Are you anticipating the Bank of America ownership group doing an exchange of the land for quid pro quo, where they would get a certain number of spots, if you know, purchase of it?
That's our hope. That's what we have suggested to them. And they seem so far to be willing. They're not sure if they are willing to do a long-term lease or fee simple ownership, but they so far have not objected to that approach. Yes, sir.
Those numbers, yeah, expensive parts, they're very tricky.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that, they could be as low as 8,000 a space and as high as 20. I mean, they could be all over the board.
They can be. I'm a little hesitant to say they can be as low as 8,000 space. I mean, we're building a very large garage. I think we can drive that first phase cost down, but because we're not building a very large garage in a fairly tight area, I'm a little more comfortable using the 12,000.
I understand what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
It can vary greatly.
Absolutely. And do we build a connection into the Bank of America building? There's always different factors that adds cost. Yeah.
The two primary cost drivers, of course, the geotech. We don't know what's under the ground. We're going to build a very large structure. It's got a lot of weight on it, so we've got to know what's there. And of course, as Mark indicated earlier, skin. How much effort, time do you want to put on the skin of that building to make it look like it fits in the downtown? That's got that historic presence.
It's a larger garage, too. Yeah, right. I was assuming you're talking about the newer one, the very large one. Is that the one you're thinking about?
I think that was the newer one. Yeah.
Okay. So the questions that we have for you and the ones that we were thinking of were, where do you stand today with our new council in terms of the parking garage project? Do you want to consider continue to try to move forward with the parking garage project with or without a catalytic project? Would it be contingent on a catalytic project? And do you want to continue to work towards the parking garage on the Bank of America site?
My opinion is to continue with the parking garage because at some point, regardless of whether the hotel is, or something's going, it's chamber site.
Yeah,
something. That's what you're losing all this hard for. And it's going to have to be done.
But you said that, maybe we've said that for years and years and years.
Have you ever looked? I just recently went down to Winter Park for the first time there. I remember, next thing I know, there's a LA Park. Have you ever looked at expanding something like that, using maybe the city parking lot? There's no fee on the ticket that was coming down that because it was something like that. I think it makes to see if that could work.
Well,
I know a lot of those fees cause a little bit of a problem with that.
I can't say that we have fully evaluated LA parking as a city sponsor. Well, what I can tell you is that absent Ocala development, we have looked at increasing on-street parking spaces. The parking analysis that I talked about, Rich and Associates, looked at that. So we know where we can put spaces. They're not really in the core, they're a little bit more on the outer fringe, but we could add a significant number of spaces. We also looked at doing additional surface parking spaces. In fact, when we talk about Ocala development, that was one of the things we talked about right away, is we said, what if we do surface parking in the short term? You finish your project, but we'll have the commitment eventually to build that garage. And that was a no-go for them. They were adamant about having the garage. They felt that my understanding is that they believe in order for them to attract a brand for that hotel, that they're going to have a garage directly in support of it.
That's what I think the canvas. Well, I think, Jim, sure, let's just keep going with that. Either we identify how many years we do this, let's just move on and this is one.
Sure, let me study about the construction building.
Yeah.
Well, I can attest to that, John. and the money we spent on those studies have been going for 40 years. And one time they come up and say, we can't put a parking garage on the south side because the north side would be a parking garage. This is just back and forth. I just don't, at this point, Jim, we had tried back in the early days, use trolleys to pick people up at different lots and bring them. We tried with the, like you said, the valet parking. Everything has been tried. We even put up money to build an underground parking garage when the courthouse came and put it there. But there again, you run into the caverns and the springs and stuff like that. This is a real touchy subject. In the first place, where are we going to get the money to do it? Now, I'm for getting the downtown going. Get things done down here, because I have been all my life. But
we've got to be careful, because we want to put ourselves in a debt situation to keep paying back now.
Well, again, that's why you use some of your CRA, and that's what the tax is for.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we don't try to do other things that aren't other parts of the CRA, but you've got to have the capitals in your accounts now. And that's, it won't pay for all of it, but it truly gets a big chunk out of it. Yeah, hopefully, if it comes back and the GeoTech says it's too expensive to do that one, it'll get the price down, and we'll still need to either put the custom drives, emphasize more parking to the west of the downtown, and still put the more parking to the north across Magnolia, as that begins. There will be parking for us as we know.
But isn't there already plenty of parking on the west side of the street?
Yeah, the north side is pretty good shape right now. There's probably, and Superbus is decent, but you know, as things start to develop and we get more people in town. If Mr. Gibbs late,
but you're not expecting
to have a problem. I don't have a problem.
I'll never have anybody looking at downtown as it's going off. Or you're
right.
Feel solid plan for it, so.
Well, I agree. The thing is, we just, and I guess I go back from experience with, you just have to be careful when you put it in how much it costs. We don't have merchants downtown. We just have to fight one another about where the four lines go.
So, I'd be in favor of, let's move on. But I think we need to capital project. But I also think, let's go ahead and do our due diligence on the bank of the parent lot now. That's the perfect site for it. I had a little by HMC and something. But I think that, you know, and we all know, I think on that, caverns and springs underneath there,
yeah,
you've got to raise the cost by, you know, to a number we can't afford. But we're not going to know that until we have to, you know, until we, and that to me is the number one. It's better than the Murphy lot. Well, that was the original number one.
Yeah. Is that the case without a LA project, the American Bank site? Is that still the preferred site?
Yeah, I think it's still the preferred site. I think we're still back 10 years, what was, when that panel was in, that's what exactly.
But if you don't, if for some reason we don't get the hotel on the old chamber site, then I think we can back off a little bit on the parking, or should back off a little bit on the parking.
But at least, I think at least we would have some due diligence time, Mark, to know, can we do it? And whatever cost for the geotest and that R&D spending we have to do.
Okay, so the summary for the parking garage is Council supports the continued investigation of a garage on the Bank of America site to try to expedite the geotech testing now, get our due diligence done, to tie it to a catalytic project preferably. If the hotel project doesn't happen, look at maybe tapping the brakes until the second project comes in. Is that what you're hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
At least we will have everything prepared to move forward. My hunch is that we may be able to get the catalytic project and go forward.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, next item is Project Compliance. We've got about 45 minutes for this conversation. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I want to divide the conversation into two parts specifically. So you have this target of bringing baseball to the city. And you have implemented a number of strategies and still are to achieve that goal. So I want to frame our conversations in two parts. First is what were the strategies that went well? And let's limit our conversation to that. What are the strategies that went well? We'll spend about 15, 20 minutes on that. And then let's talk about strategies that did not result in the outcomes that you want. In other words, what could you learn from as you continue down this path to achieve your goal.
Sound good?
So let's start with positive. So what were the strategies that went well?
I think you went after the A-plus flight, which is good. We didn't go after the Toronto Blue Jays, because they called them one of the Montreal Expos. But we went after the Yankees, and that's the, that, to me, that's the cream of the crop.
So that's the
crop. Yeah, that was the, to me, the best part of the crop.
And I would agree with that. Hundreds, they were the next best thing to an actual spring training team. Although Old State and Simmons were spring training teams, but you know, this is the New York Yankees, and they are the biggest brand in sports world. So.
I pretty much agree. There were a lot of best fans. Best fans. Coming from New York, I have to buy pickles. The Yankees have such a reputation here in Ocala already, so I think it was good for you to accept. That's easier than those wild things you get into that district. Finding some vision of what we should if you're not having it. I think so. Going after them is probably the smartest thing to do.
Another positive is the fact that we're going to do something in this community. And, you know, we already have horse farms and things of that nature here, so I think that is a positive.
You reached out, your strategy is to reach out to a key partner that already had connections here.
Yeah, strong. So I think so. But if it comes down to that, I think you already had a connection here in the Yankees, you know. Although I'm an Atlanta Braves. Anytime you can bring the Yankees organization itself here, I think it was a good connection because you already have here.
So let's dive a little deeper on the football strategy. So we went for the home run, we leveraged a key stakeholder in the community. What are some other strategies that
we're here because it didn't go as well as we wanted. So I'm not,
yeah.
It's hard to find. I mean, there were some individual things. I mean, there were some times the staff did really good jobs of saying things. And just,
well,
that's a good reason to make.
Not yet.
I have to say that the staff put a lot of time and effort into it. And it was expensive for the city. But they tried. And they never gave up on it. So that's a good one. How was the relationship between council and staff? You guys in sync, working well together, good communications?
The communications were excellent. And to the extent that there were real communications, everything was conducted one-on-one. So I never knew what Councilman McLeod was thinking, or Councilwoman Rich, or Councilman Owen, or Councilman Heinbach. We never discussed it in a public forum until we were ready to hand it over to the county. I may not ask, did not ask me to get into the, you know, the bad, so I'll leave it with good. What communication there was good, but until you get it in the public forum, it's limited.
I'm very vocal about that. But another positive, it would have opened up that entire corridor, you know, and what's just as dangerous as what's supposed to be more safe. It's taken a lot of pressure. Actually, people thought it took more pressure on 200, it would have taken pressure on 200.
The frontage road that would have been built to accommodate the stadium would have been a home run. In itself, in the city.
And that's slated to be built. What's the slide we saw the other day? It's 2018
or 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were just asking it to be moved on a couple of years.
Anything else you can
take? No, we can't get on the tail end, so we're doing it.
I have to say the communication though, Matt meant to be right away, couldn't, you know, fire, so told me what was happening, where it was going.
what they've done. I thought that was, you know, brought me, but that staff did a good job, as far as I know.
Staff did, that's my job, they worked, they went here, when they took ownership in the project, they worked it hard.
I mean, let's not leave out poor Jimmy sitting down there eating.
Back to your perspective, kind of representing Captain, what were some things that you thought were very well strategy-wise?
Two things. One is when the connection with Yankees was initially made, we sat down in my conference room and we laid out what we had to have in terms of the agreement. And we laid out the fact that we couldn't have a project that year in and year out kept costing the city operational money. It had to be a self-sufficient project. And so we identified our Alamo early on, and we kept to that. And I think we were able to negotiate an agreement around those initial tenets that we identified. That's one. Two, I felt like we had a lot of points in the project where we were able to stop and say, okay, does this still make sense to continue forward? You know, we had the feasibility checkpoint. We had the pulling checkpoint. And we had a number of stops along the way where had anything on our dashboard gone off and said, you know, we got a problem here, we could very easily have gone back to council and reported, you know, this ain't working, the numbers aren't panning out, let's pull the plug. So I think we were able to compartmentalize each step so that we had confidence going to the next one, that we had momentum, that there wasn't something going on. Three, I think the team worked well. I got a hands off to Jimmy and Mark, hours and hours behind the scenes, really trying to work through some very hard issues, being innovative and creative. So I thought we had the right team around the project. So I think those are some initial thoughts.
Before I switch gears, anything else on the possible strategies?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy brought us in and talked to us through the Jim Vision about the and brought us up the good points to bad. He laid it out so points.
What I thought would be perceived as a bad place. And what I thought would be perceived as a good point.
Well, okay. Well, he's kind of talking. He was very non-committal.
He was a lawyer.
Do you want to share any perspective you have as far as?
Yeah, I agree with what y'all said. Mark, would you mind?
I think another thing that I would add would be, you know, we took some time early in the project when we realized that we couldn't do this ourselves, and we've done a lot of projects ourselves, but we needed expertise that we didn't have. We didn't know the inner workings of baseball. And so we took some time to look at other consultants and other parties that did. We looked at a number of proposals. And we ended up going with the group that we felt gave us the best opportunity to fully evaluate the project. And one of the reasons we liked this group, other than the fact that they had architects and engineers and economists and people who study and have done stadiums and work on these things, is they also had an individual who was a team owner. I did a big project out in Pearl, Mississippi, which was there's a lot of similarities between that project and our potential project. And we thought having that insider knowledge would be helpful to us, so we felt comfortable that we could surround ourselves with people that knew more than we did, which was important, because we felt like had we tried to do it on our own, it would have been a total disaster, and we would have gone, stepped in areas we had no business going into.
I wasn't with them the whole 2 years, but part of the process was, I think their meetings that they had with Tony Bruno were very effective. I think they were, and you guys have never seen that, but I think that they were very proactive in how they handled their meetings with them. And then the feasibility study and the way that they evaluated all the financing options, I think, was excellent as well.
Okay, give me one other thing. You know, we can talk about it now because, you know, when we have one-on-one meetings, we weren't able to share what the other council members were thinking because of sunshine laws. And of course, it was difficult to have a large meeting with everyone without making an advertised meeting. But we couldn't do that. But one of the things we heard from council as we had the one-on-one meetings is that they were very concerned about this, at the end of the day, the citizens of Ocala having all that burden placed on them, and that they were looking for an alternative that would not only place the financial burden on a larger citizenry, but also demonstrate at the same time whether or not there was community support for the stadium. And so the ultimate strategy in terms of seeking a sales tax referendum met that requirement. We'll talk about the negative sides of that in a minute, but I think it was good to be able to hear from council some very clear direction and then be able to find that strategy that fit that direction. And it worked sort of simultaneously, but I thought that communication was good.
Anything else? Positive? Okay, so let's switch gears. So let's talk about strategies that did not achieve the results you wanted. And what I'd ask you to do is frame the conversation and that, you know, to use the baseball analogy, you swung into this, but you swung, you try. And so not everything's going to be a home run. And try not to personalize things, but I think the broader conversation of what we can learn as you move forward. So with that, we'll talk about this.
I think the Mark alluded to it, obviously you got some good feedback from the other council members. You got my feedback. You sacrificed on it. That the sales tax way of funding the stadium was clearly the best way to do it. It was really the only way to do it at the end of the day. Really do it at a half cent for 5 years, or half cent for 3 years, or a full cent for 5 years, and throw a bunch of other things in there. That's clearly the way to do it. That definitely required buy-in from the county commission. That never happened. So the handoff to this county was bumbled. We were trying to do the double play ball. We flipped it and we flipped it poorly. And so it really died right there. I'm not so sure that we ever got out of batter's box on that. And it's a shame because I would have liked to have seen a good dive course on the project and the citizens of Marion County get a little bit of them, but that didn't happen. It's not going to happen on there.
Well, and let me add to that. And there was an effort putting down in, and I don't know why there always seems to be a little bit too much mistrust in the other place, but we brought in Irving. We probably didn't bring in Irving up. Day one would have been soon enough for a minute, because if you're going to ask somebody to do something, they better be in early. We did bring them in early, but not as early as we could have. And at that point, that's where the disconnect happened. And that's where we as council members, if we can't get any buy-in from the county administrator about himself or one of the commissioners being on there, that's when we need to reach out to the commissioners. Had we done that, we got to sit in on a meeting and be involved with my
company. Well, we may kill it early.
We may kill it early, or may this Sunday, and may not have liked it since from that, that the people were run part of the deal not being going in early enough.
Well, if that's the only reason I voted down because their feelings were hurt, then shame on them.
Okay, exactly like that.
But if they truly were opposed to a sales tax to finance this, then they would have been opposed to it 6 months ago or a year ago, okay? And that would have been great information to have.
I mean, if our communication lines just can't be through the administrator, then we've got a phone call then.
Right.
And I think maybe from a council member standpoint, on any issue, because probably we need to know. Whether it's me or you.
No, it's fine, we're shooting about it. I'm not presiding anyway.
No, it's a,
how long this thing took, or how long it was under study before it finally became exposed to the county and then to the public. As a Monday morning quarterback, before we sit back and say the truth, I'm missing this. I think communication was great. And what I see was kind of genuine at the end, amongst the staff, I think communication between the county and those people were with the lack of separatists. Maybe the reasons of having to keep the deal secret for a lot longer because of the names and so on and so forth, I don't know. But I just know that I think their perception of being brought in late after, which is what I'm seeing anyway. You know, I have no clue when Dr. Midlock was brought in or when any of the county commissioners were advised. And they may have been advised earlier than what they were actually opinion to.
Well, I don't know when they were advised, but, you know, he was brought in fairly early.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's what I heard when I was talking to him a little bit from school. But I think maybe the approach should have been given more of a cooperative, you know, other things, other issues that the county has that maybe would have made that sales tax much more palatable. Of course, it is actually the best way to go.
That is one thing that we did do. We tried to figure out, okay, right, but this is what we're thinking. What can we do to go along with this project?
And there are numerous projects within the community that I think have sold that thing.
And they
hands down. If you think that mine, then let me go on.
Roadblock after roadblock after roadblock on those items from the commission. You know, it would have made sense to me, maybe I'm just thinking of John Citizen here, if you got a school board looking for sales tax, a sheriff looking for sales tax, and a city looking, if you did one, try to incorporate everything into that, that makes sense.
Yeah. It would have been. Long before this, I had a conversation with Dr. Midlock about something we were trying to do with the civic leader, and he alluded to the fact that there would be something coming down in the future, about a year and a half ago, that when this popped up, I thought maybe this was something that he was thinking about. And I seen the fallout between the communications. Not again, not involvement, but the communications between the city and the county. And for whatever reason, they just dug their heels in for a backup that the public can vote on. Whether it was feelings hurt, or they thought they had, you know, maybe there was pressure from the sheriff, but they didn't. If they acquiesced to this and then denied him, I don't know.
That's another thing that doesn't make sense to me. Another governing body wants to put something on the ballot, yeah, and you don't have to pay for it, but you need to count it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
At some point, you got to let citizens check.
So I guess, you know, I don't know, positive communication and negative communication is kind of a lot.
I like what John said. It's like, it is what it is. Let's learn from it.
Well, I appreciate it. And the other thing that I did hear from a lot of people is that, and I'd have to refer this to our attorney here, but the deal seemed quite lopsided to the Yankees. And the city was not getting a bang for their buck out of that. I don't know how the deal was structured with the amount of other events that the city was going to hold versus what the Yankees were holding, the money that the Yankees got for the other events. I understand that they were liable for all repairs, but getting money from the game went into this fund to cover their repairs and so on. So there's people that maybe didn't quite understand, and maybe they didn't take the time to read it to see. Well, they thought the contract was pretty much lopsided with the Yankees. Plus the fact that you take that area where it was going, another time there was a point, it happens to be surrounded by three Steinberg hotels. When you look at that area there, Steinberg was three of those hotels in that area. I'm not saying it's not the best place because it's got a disability in I-75. These are some of the other things that people are looking at. Say, well, you've got the Yankees who can afford to pay a rewire. How many millions of dollars a year? He's located in a piece right in the heart of their hotel country.
Well, I think most people don't realize that the Yankees have so many limited partnerships. They just, you know, they use the letter to the Yankees, they sign it off from their corporation or limited partnership, whatever it is. I think that what happened, I told Matt this when he first told me, I said, you're pushing March 18th for an election that people aren't going to stand for. And they didn't. I think you can blame the city, the county commission, all you want to. I think if we had backed off and in August or October or November, we would have, it might have passed with 3%, probably 0.5%. But we just pushed it too quick. I was for it. I didn't fight it. I went right in there and talked to Matt and told him that I was up front and said, you pushed too quick. And Matt was honest and said, well, the Yankees have to know by this certain time and we have options out and things like that. Okay. Then, when this thing got down here about 3 or 4 months ago, or 2 months ago, the Yankees wrote us a letter and said, oh, well, we can wait till the 16 or 17 to do it. Well, how does that make you feel that we rushed to get it and tried to get our mail out and stuff? That wasn't too cool to me. And I just think that if we are taking it a little bit slower, not put it off, but slower, people didn't get the gist of what was trying to be done. What Jim said, they were thinking, what is the city going to get out of this? How much money is the city going to make? I had people, the staff telling me, or other people, said, zero. Okay? But we were going to get stuff for electric, we're going to get stuff from people staying overnight, we're going to get restaurants and other things coming in. I just think it was just a bad timing with the March vote. And that's what said it all. People started saying, what are they hurrying, what are they doing? And like John said, if it had been a little more open earlier, I think this would have been a big issue.
And the open earlier wasn't our fault, but that was confidentiality here with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And I, to be honest with you, I think that put us all in kind of a bad spot. You know, had it been out in public again, it would really make a sense to me.
You could have explained to the Yankees that you're fine with confidentiality agreement in the beginning, but it needed to go public way before we took it.
Right away.
It would have benefited us all, and if the Yankees would have balked at that, then let them balk and took it someplace else. I think they would have stayed in the deal. The advantages of going public earlier would have been tremendous. Like Councilman Oliver said, I think a lot large percentage of the population hung in on the fact that we're trying to rush into a special election. Didn't understand the project at all. It was just, you were rushing into this, and therefore your project.
They didn't understand. I remember we just had a referendum defeated about that. Yeah. We didn't want to have a special election. The saving money now, we're coming out with a special election.
That being said, I don't think we got three commissioners that are on the ballot for August 5th.
Right.
Well, my personal opinion.
That we won't know.
We won't know.
So how do we inform this in the future? We learned a lesson about what was the procedure to avoid.
I think staff shares, well, I'll speak for myself, I shared frustration with the handoff. Ms. Riggs and I met with the County Commission the last week of March, first week of April 2013. And we brought administrator in the 12th, the early part of 13. Probably should have done it earlier. Probably should have done it more frequently. The handoff did not work well. The other thing that was challenging is what we learned behind the scenes when the lights went on changed. In other words, there were changes of opinion, changes of tenor. And so that made it difficult to understand really where the county stood with the level of support for the project. So one lesson is to hand off earlier. I think it goes without saying. I think Jay's point to the confidentiality agreement is well taken. I think it's a fair argument. That precluded us from going public. And in fact, the reason why, recall we initially tried to hit the city's fall election cycle, but couldn't because the license agreement still has some loose ends.
The land deal too.
So we missed that target. That's why I pushed it into the spring. But that kept our hands tied to some degree, having a confidentiality agreement. Perhaps in retrospect, we should have somehow had that conversation, had gone public a little bit earlier.
They're asking for public funds. They ought to be prepared for the public to know about it.
I don't want to add to, and I think one thing that we didn't do that would be crucial in a project of this size is we should have brought the CEP in much earlier. They had a very good go between our council and the county commission, and again, that might be a step we missed. Had we used that step early on, we'd been better off.
you're absolutely right, because I had a conversation with Pete Tesh about this afterwards, since he's now moved out of all that stuff, and that's one of his observations.
We kept Doug and Kevin. Of course, Kevin came along about halfway through, and Doug was informed along the way, but again, we had that confidential agreement that precluded us from going public even with their board. And until, of course, we had the agreement, the life agreement done, and I made a presentation to their board, must have been September's full presentation, and of course, they made a vote to support it, and they're way behind it. That confidential agreement, which was signed early on, in fact, Jimmy Martin, it was...
Yeah, the reason was...
They wanted to do it, but
yeah.
Really precluded us from going public.
Well, you know, another thing, the CDP got on board, and we were on board, and then all of a sudden, it looked like they were doing a separate negotiation.
What do you mean? The CDP with the Yankees? I didn't sense that. The only contact we had with the Yankees was primarily the three of us. Sometimes a representative with E.P. Wood get involved, but otherwise it was very limited. I know later on there were reach outs by the Yankees to commission members, and commission members to the Yankees. I know Tony had some conversations personally with the commission members. I know that happened late in the game. But the only interaction direct with the Yankees was primarily this team here.
Well, I'm just telling you what I heard and what was told to me.
Yeah.
But I know you probably didn't know it.
No, I didn't know that.
But they were trying to help bring the Yankees here, but they were going in a different angle. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, that doesn't work. It doesn't work as a team. So maybe, like John said, we should have talked earlier.
I think they would have got the county commission
on the team.
On the team.
Yeah.
And I think that's where ultimately that's where we kind of make a mistake. I mean, again, you got to remember, it does take the county commission. They're going to have to take a step to cooperate at some point. It can't be all us. They have to step forward. But again, our procedures are kind of.
For all the going forward, we have something like this, you're not going to have a CDP that's also applying all the times at the same time. Because that, as you guys are going through this, that's...
Oh, yeah, I
that was
they were
that marriage was being formed.
I just think we underestimated the county commission and their opposition to any type of tax.
Lack of a better word, you say tax, and they say no.
Okay.
That's the impression I get, okay? Maybe wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, it was the same commission that passed the school board referendum by a 3-2 vote. Two members of the county commission voted not to put a tax on the ballot when they were statutorily required to. So that's how opposed they are to it. They're not criticizing them. That's their, if they think that that's their job, then they're doing their best.
So maybe it's our job. A better job of understanding where they're coming
that
from.
That is correct.
We need a study of the county commission.
Well, they did just have a strategic meeting where they talked about coming with a sales tax referendum in November. So I'm not sure how opposed they are to a sales tax versus...
Well, we may have moved them a little bit.
Versus a sales tax from someone else.
Yeah, I think it's probably moved them a
little bit. And also to add what Jay said, there are people opposed to raising that tax, which has nothing to do with the system. Unless you're kicked out of your house or something like that, otherwise you're not.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's our job to understand when we're dealing with across the island.
Yeah. Even going back to that bed tax, it's after failed by times, so it's communication with the county commission and the public to let them understand what it's all about. Same thing with this in here. You know, there was the head of what was going on in sales tax. People don't understand how a lot of the sales tax is paid by other people outside the community.
Yes.
So education was the key if we had that with that next time.
Yeah, that
never got a chance to get that.
Right. Yeah, that provoked a couple of thoughts. We had an internal debate about when to kick off that informal public campaign. about getting the public involved, getting engaged, getting the questions answered. And ultimately decided, let's get the county commission on board first, get on the referendum, and then we switch gears and we do a full-court press on the informal campaign and look to the private sector support a funded formal campaign. We should probably take that up earlier and get more public support. That's probably an area you probably need to look at. The other thing that we really struggled with was the mix of projects. We just could not get uniformity, consistency, and opinion about what that mix should be. You know, obviously we had a stadium, we had infrastructure, but what should be added to that, we could never get consensus, whether it was the administration, whether it was the staff. We just couldn't solidify what that mix should be.
And I think it probably should have been a red flag that they were treating this very lukewarm. Because if you can't get them to agree on this like that, I'm thinking, God, all the great things you could do with it. Yeah. Right. Absent sales tax 5 years or whole thing. Yeah. So a lot of stuff in the county. Okay.
Yeah.
And
that's why we went public, that's why we framed it. You know, we got the project and $22 million. County, what do you want to do with it? We just could not get a determination on where to go with it.
Well, there was a lot of rumors going around what was going to be put out there, where it was going to be put on it. I mean, you couldn't put your finger on it. And people were just spreading it. Everywhere I went, people said, what's going on? Why do they want this? Why do they want that? Who's going to put it in? They're going to put this there. They're going to put that there. And who's going to make the money? The Yankees, not the city.
And we want to add to that, you know, when we looked at this thing, we were looking at the shading, we should have probably put as much emphasis on the smaller youth baseball fields around the project and soccer fields, that type of thing, where it's not just a venue for the Yankees, it's a community project where you're not just getting, you've got 8% who's been silent for 25 years. Now you can hold regional sporting, regional, you know, baseball tournaments of that kind of nature, not just using one stadium, but, you know, the multi-use. I think that would play.
I think you could have gotten the CF Central College here to get on board because they needed a place to, they wanted to buy that place for their baseball teams and stuff. If we could have gotten them on board, I didn't hear a word out of them the whole time.
They were involved early. They were involved early. Yes. So they were granted an opportunity to discuss their ideas and their vision with us.
But you never heard in public.
No.
Now that Sue's got enough comments, we're going to start the article.
Yeah.
Where should we go on?
Yeah. I guess my question is, maybe we have until April. I've seen heard people talk about various other means of plans that I'd like to know. But for the council people, I don't support spending that along the taxes, general revenues of the city, any special revenues, any incremental income that we may finance the city. We can't get it done either for sales tax or some type of philanthropic endeavor. We can't put this on our city residents.
Sales tax, bed tax, building project, other than that, we can't.
I concur. Can we do that again? I don't know where we're getting off on these other things.
Yeah.
Not only you explore it, but I'd
like to tell you right now, staff, the only thing that we are pursuing right now is the philanthropic solution. Working with a organization in Orlando who does these types of projects. It's a very slow process, very complicated process. The staff has not looked at other types of funding. We're solely looking at front office right now.
Well, we
can
get publicity all over the state. Who knows what I'm talking about? know, somebody knows something that we don't know, and how they're going to fund it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just isn't right, because you can see the way the four of us feel about the, that type of funding. Do you feel like you've been hurt? Anything else you want to add? Did you hear the strengths of the...
Could have done better. Yeah, just say you, the staff, you didn't strike out. You hit a couple of long foul balls, okay? But you at least you swung to the back.
Well, he made his card.
Well, let me also again publicly comment on staff. You know, Mark and Jimmy were tremendous in their pursuit of trying to find solutions to very difficult questions. Of course, Diane and Cindy were really on as well. I can't say more about staff's role in trying to hit that long ball. But I also want to compliment council, because you were willing to be innovative. You were willing to accept a look at another very interesting project. You brought the truth to your own vision and mission statement. And I think that says a lot about the council, so I can come with you as well.
Economic development is more than just company coming in here.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's your explanation.
It's covers a lot. Multitude of things. And that was one of the pieces of the puzzle. Just like Silver Springs is a big piece of the puzzle, what we're going to do with Scott Springs and Tents, they're all part of it.
Well, it's more than just the number of people that we're going to attend the game. I get tired.
It's so much more than that.
Yeah, it would have been sort of like, you look at a grocery store or something like that, they have a loss leader, bring people in. Mm-hmm. You know, that may have been sort of on that level a little bit. Maybe attendance would have been higher than Tampa, obviously, because of all the names down there. But they ran and everything else would have attracted. When you talk about economic development, companies look at health system, education system, what my people want to do in the meantime. It also helps make Ocala a destination, so there are so many other possibilities from that.
I'm having that stadium visible right there at the interstate, mm-hmm. with that front and front being built.
Is your better advertising?
No, there is no.
I can guarantee you all 7,000 cars or whatever trips you have every day, that's what they're looking at. It.
Yeah. And they're going to have fast FedEx.
Anything else you want to add before we...
No, I don't think so. Let me ask you, Jimmy, Mark, anything you want to add? You guys are...
You don't want to ask me that question, man.
Chief, any comments? Chief, is
your sir, we would have protected him. Even in the case of a tourism, I don't know.
All right, that was a good conversation. All right, let's switch gears a bit and let's talk about council priorities.
Okay, Jack, you want to take 5 minutes, maybe a few hours?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
but that's concerning.
I'm actually holding back because I'm usually terrible with that, but I'm not hurt.
ATMs don't come anymore. Now I wish we could say.
The problem for them is that we're in now, we're not leaving. I don't get mad per se, but I'm just very kind of sad. You say one thing more, I'm not impressed. So far, you've done very little to impress me. The only thing you've impressed upon me is, why am I still doing business? I think that it's be patient, and we're almost there, but you can freeze yourself when you saw that. We've got to stop freezing ourselves. This is more like that time when we were dealing with point trade, and they were trying to tell us that these are words that we couldn't do this and this and this and this. And I said, okay, and I looked at the guy's thumb up there. And he looked at me and I said, you're looking at us as if we're making things in us and Kmart, and that we really need this as a business. Only 10% of them. What they lose sight of then is that they think the guy is very important to me, but I wish to take on you when you don't care. We're not doing that or you, but we don't care that it's important to you. You should care what's important to us. This is what the main matching on me.
Don't worry. I don't know, be coy. Maybe rolling us to see what we're doing. We get back to them. Get it on the insurance.
So I'm going
get on there, you know, I just put an email,
I know we were going to go ahead and verify it, but it's true that
All right, everyone, can you take your seats? Let's go ahead and get started.
As far as Karen is off the floor, she's going to go to the hospital.
Yep, that's fine. Greg. Just take my seat.
Yes, it is. There it is. All right, here we go.
You take it. Am I swiping everything? Or are we swiping it all?
Yes.
Okay.
Matt, would you be opposed to my putting some of my books to a reason no, my conference room to look like this?
All right, but I know what I have to do.
That's why you were so 15 minutes ago.
You got to admit, everybody was going to use this.
All right, here we go. So council priorities. We're going to run this until 11 o'clock. And Jay has another point that needs to leave. So the format we're going to do is going to go one at a time. And we're going to give each of you 3-5 minutes just to be prepared to share your priorities. We're going to ask the other council members just let the person talk and get it out. Janine is going to capture your thoughts. And so we're just going to go through each of you. We're going to put them on the wall and see where these themes are out there. That would be a good input to staff as far as priorities coming up. Make sense? And after each goes, we will have some a few minutes to interact and make sure we clarify and understand each of your perspectives. Fair ground rules? Who wants to go first? Sure.
And I wrote one down kind of my priority list, and I'm going to list the financial first. Just to simplify for me. For me first, financially, I'd like to see us balance the budget, and just using a multitude of ways to do so. Some reserves, some transfers. I don't want any one particular thing to have to suffer. It should come to a broad range of things. And new ones. That's really also in the financial thing, and this not a priority, which one is number one, number two, number three. Obviously, and I won't be the only one that says this, we've got a huge initiative to help you, but we're all aware of that. And then also, I stated in my programs in this financial arena that I want Jim and Pat to look at this contract process that we're going through. I mean, it was different before Mr. Horst was here, for my time. Contracts.
Like,
Overall contracts.
Okay.
Any kind of legal contract we do, it's not the deals we're doing, like with the symphony. It's something in the process, and I'd like to see that taken. Let Jimmy and Pat look at Tiffany and come up with a procedure that's a little bit more efficient. And I think at the end of the day, they'll say this quite a bit of money and make it easier process.
So easier and more efficient.
Okay. And I'm sure Jimmy and Pat will do what they need.
We'll make it easier.
And yeah, and report back what's best for all of us. Then I kind of point to downtown. Like I said, that's a different category, but for me, parking garage is crucial. with a catalytic site, obviously. And, the McBride situation. And then, again, because we're doing these things, and we still can't reflect the North Mac, we just don't have to do as much to the North Mac as we originally budgeted. We still need to do some things over there and make this all work together. And then in Parks and Rec, and obviously I spoke earlier, but let's capture it. The tennis center 14, redoing that. And of course, Scott Springs. I mean, I think staff has come up with a great idea of what to do there. Find a way to implement those. I mean, the idea of having an inner city off road bicycle track. I mean, that's a great idea. Using our DRA, that's a wonderful idea. As much mountain biking goes on in this area, that would be tremendous, I think. And also for the future, when I look at the Parks and Rec thing, I still want to see a future plan of the Tuscaloosa here. How do we take that to the next step? Now, I know we've got our 2035 vision, but I'm talking about from Parks and Rec. So where would they go? How would it flow? There's going to be a tennis deficit. And by the way, I don't play tennis. So I only watch the jump. But I understand the economic impact it brings and how many people play. It's truly a famous sport and people of all ages play. So as soon as we finish working, we will be in a tennis court deficit for that kind of play for it. Last, not least, I kind of put this in and did it at the end. I'm a little bit concerned about our IT situation. I know we've got an audit on the line and we're trying to fix that. It seems like every time we turn around the problem, and that's all the time. But we need to find a more efficient way, and I think the audit will tell us that, but it's on my list. And last, but not least, equipment. Now that's whether it's a bucket truck for electric, or whether it's a ladder truck, which is, one of the deputy chiefs told me that, there's going to be a need for a ladder truck, agreed to, and whether it's new police cars, whatever. I just want to make sure that we got behind during the recession. We're still in the recession from our numbers and our standpoint, but we have to be really careful because we don't want to kick that down the road to the next group.
So it's kind of like major equipment replacement program.
Right. I think some of the things that we've implemented with servicing our own vehicles, I think you get a more personalized touch. We're trying to take care of our equipment better, but to last longer, which makes it a lot easier to clean things in the future. That's kind of my idea. I broke it down.
So let's turn to other council members if you have any questions. John, about his priorities or his clarifications that you need.
No, I think it's pretty clear. Except for maybe the IT. You mentioned a concern with IT, so you're anxious always to get results. You assess that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's a concern. I don't know where it comes from. It just seems like it's kind of a mess. And can I hear all these systems trying to be implemented? And you can't get out. How do we get around it?
Yeah, staff would agree with you. If I can speak for myself, I agree with you. Many of the issues are legacy issues.
Yeah.
The Eden software, our primary financial software package, I know that Diane and Cindy would probably agree at some level there's been some legacy issues with that. As we try to, you can't manage if you can't measure, right? And so we're looking now, we're trying to find software packages that allow us to generate data, allow us to generate metrics just to see how well we're doing. And so we're kind of diving into an area that we've never been before. And that, of course, means software to be able to track that data. So there's also additional software demands to get the data we need to make sure we're doing the right thing.
Will the study also tell us, for instance, at perception, is that the police department's IT is working really well? That's perception. Is it correct?
It is working really well.
Okay. Well, if it is really working well, is the IT assessment going to say so? What are we doing good there that we're not doing good over here? I mean, that, those are the things that I was interested in telling us.
Yeah, and the assessment is bigger than that. You know, if you look at what happened in Target, what, 2 months ago, where some hacker got in and stole between 80 million and 90 million their credit card numbers. We want to make sure that we don't find ourselves in that same situation. So we were looking at security issue citywide. You know, that's a big issue. So it's also looking at where is technology going in the IT industry 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road. We want to make sure that we're aware of that so we can align, right, align what we do with the trending in the IT market. In addition to, of course, we have a feedback as to how we can do things better. We always look for that type of feedback. So, but the IT assessment is really a broad effort to do a lot of information, a lot of the fronts.
Yeah, and understand where my concerns are coming from in this business. I'm the guy who can't work five on half the time. So, you know, I just see it, I hear it, things happen.
Yeah.
It seems like we're spending a lot of hours patching the systems and trying to make more.
Yeah,
we
agree. A lot of the hours we're spending now is, for example, the new Cogsware. This is huge because it's the software that collects our revenues from our utilities. This is a $100-200 million endeavor here to make sure we fund those utility receipts right. So it's, you know, it's a big issue. It's a big undertaking, and it takes a Herculean task. Hopefully, we'll get to that soon. But I agree with you.
Sure. I want to balance the general fund. Continued pension reform. Better labor relations. An emphasis, continued emphasis, and I think we already do it. We have the best parks and rec people go by here in Cal. But a continued emphasis on quality of life. Tuscaloosa Park Master Plan, Tennis Center, Skate Park. And I've even got a question. Is there a possibility of one project with the county to build some play courts? So, let me think. The county has how many play courts? That would be nuts. Why? I guarantee you people in the county play on play as much as anything. They play on our campus. So why can't we have a joint project with the county?
I want to make sure we capture everything you said.
Tuscaloosa Park, Tennis Center,
Park, Salt Lake Park.
Yeah.
Possible partnerships with the county.
Yeah.
With the park. Did we get up there, best park in the world? Did we put that up there?
And then the next item I have is continued downtown redevelopment, park and garage. Let's finally figure out if the Sprint building can be rehabbed or if we can tear it down. And then the chamber lot. I agree with John on our contracts. Better contract management.
Sorry, what was the last? You said parking garage, Sprint property, chamber lot. Chamber lot, thank you.
Contract management.
And then finally, I guess FMPA finally getting a resolution to our joint ownership of the nuclear plant and stable utility rates.
We're working.
You know, you don't necessarily have to be the lowest in the state. We don't want to be the highest in the state, but there's a lot to be said for state stability. And we got to change the perception.
We have that?
Yeah, let's. Yeah, I just thought of that.
to look at your list up here.
I'm sorry, the FMP, the resolution, that's with the Crystal River situation, correct? Okay.
And the reception of rates, whole rate stabilization is kind of tied together. So let's turn it over to other council members. Questions?
Okay. I just have a question for Larry and Matt. How much can you actually tell us because of your confidentiality? About the resolution, how much you did that? I know it's not going to be much, but I have to ask a question.
I can tell you that we've got a term sheet, that we are close to finalizing with Duke. This has got Duke's CEO's full attention. I can tell you that we can negotiate a term sheet that is well within the city's best interest. A lot of it has to do with ownership, so it's anything more than that. We suspect that we'll have an agreement for you for consideration sometime April-ish, May-ish time frame.
I knew you couldn't tell us anymore than that, but just
To echo Matt, it appears that Duke is incented to get this thing completed, and that's worked to everybody's favor. Leave it at that for the moment, but seems like they really are motivated to finish this up.
That's super good. It's that information under the ordinance.
Any other questions for Jay?
I do. Jay, just a clarification. You mentioned better labor relations. There's nothing that's going to rock their world more than pension reform. It's kind of an oxymoron trying to improve that. At the same time, you're trying to take their holy grail away from them.
I understand that that's a dual-edged sword. Yeah. But I guess when I say better, really, they don't necessarily have to like us. But I want us to finally get a contract with the firefighters. And that's frustrating because I almost feel like no matter what we do, they won't sign contract, they'll find some way of backdooring it where they don't agree with it. But I would like that done, and I would like the new IPW.
Yep.
I'd like to let's go down the road with that. If the union thinks that they're going to bring back a defined benefit plan, it's not going to. The old plan is not going to come back. You can quote me on that.
I kind of want to add a little something, not for the fact part, but in the fact that we have, this hurts a little bit, so you know, it's reality. The fact that we have a third union in the city of Ocala. Now, anytime you have a third union that's voted in and in the past did not vote that direction, That's an indictment on management, and it's an indictment on council to some degree. Now, who plays the major role there? I'm not here to say, but if that happens, communication lines broke down somewhere, and we need to work on this.
And that's really what I wanted to do. I
thought we would.
Yeah. I don't think you can measure labor relations and the labor force. Measure whether we have their respect.
Yeah.
They took the time to vote. Yeah. And I'm not sure that it was about pension, but it might have been more about process than I would have gotten to that. Because I think we all understood there was going to be change, but there needed to be change. How did we get to that process? Where did we go wrong? Where did we go right? And how do we avoid that?
Yeah, I think all fair criticism. I know that Brad does a tremendous job with the fire union, but there's some personalities that make it difficult for we continue to work through those. Sandra, if I could put you on the spot for just a moment. We are moving forward with the IDEW, and maybe you can get an update where we are with that negotiation.
We have our next session with them next week, February 5th. We've given them a number of proposals, a number of proposals. And I assume they're ready to give us the kind of proposals that they asked for the next meeting. And what was the hearing?
And those negotiations, I guess, should be a little bit better than with the other, companies.
They proposed it. Not a bad experience.
I don't think we're looking for a bad experience either.
Absolutely not.
It works better than anything.
It's challenging though, I agree. It's challenging though when you're talking about the Holy Grail.
What?
And, passionate about it. It's something they, feel strongly about. And it's likely to bring out a lot of feelings and emotions and issues.
I agree. Been there, done that.
I just want to bring up one point. And I talked about this in cabinet, but it was basically me and 5 county residents. You know, if you look at our workforce, it's only 200 and something of us out of the 900 plus employees that live in the city limits, and 5 are included. So when they're campaigning on the street and holding signs, they have no skin in the game. They want taxes raised. They have no skin in the game. They're not going to pay those taxes. And I just think that's one thing that we need to consider when we're working with the union. It's easy sometimes to say, give me, give me, give me. And it's a very tough economy. And I think that played a huge role in this. And not having raises played a huge role in this. But when you tell them you have a $5 million deficit, you know, sometimes there's no answers coming forward because they don't have any skin in the game. And we've talked about, you know, how we maybe balance the scales a little bit better. And that conversation continues. But I think it's important that you realize this last union run was not done by city residents, but some of the county residents who worked for the city.
I agree, but they're still part of the team. And I guess the exceptions out there, and just like people talking about the Yankees spending $150 million by a baseball player to keep them safe, same thing. They'll see us make a move, they'll see us do something and spend money, they're going, but why are they taking our benefits away? My point is, we've got to get across to them better. We have to explain to them better just exactly why, where we're going. And I don't know how to get to that point. I don't know how to get that across, but I think that's where the rub is.
And sitting down and talking at with their heads. Not go through all this, but the what we're facing.
Well, they very much know it. Yeah. Oh yes. You take and I can't speak for the police union, I don't know.
That's a very good
but you know, the fire union has filed now 3 arbitrations in the last year and a half. And every one of those arbitrations, part of our representation of them is this economy. And using the root of every economy. We talk about economy. And revenues and all the things that we're doing to try to balance budget. And they've had a first row seat, every one of them. So
I think one of the challenges for all staff and citizens is even if they understand the challenge, they're still, they don't understand some of the investments we're making. I think that's part of the equation too, is they go, well, you don't have money for that, but you're spending money on a parking garage or so sometimes it's not understanding the buckets like we talked about yesterday, the limitations there, and sometimes it's our inability to, you know, help them understand why we're making these investments, that it is ultimately through those investments that we're going to have a return that we'll be able to cover a number of these costs that we have, right? That's a difficult, we keep working on it, we gotta keep working on that.
That's what I was
sure.
Mark did the right on this.
because they see what we're doing. But we're not telling them what's coming.
Fine.
We can try. Right. We have all hands conferences twice a year with the frontline supervisors, once a year with senior leadership. For example, we just had the fall all hands supervisors and Cindy, for example, several times, and have done her bucket presentation, where she explains, as she did yesterday, you know, different sources of revenue, what buckets to go in, the limitations. And so we can try to make those inroads as much as possible, and we'll continue to do that.
You know, and I don't think Cindy can do a presentation enough. I mean, you know, every time she makes a presentation, I learn something else. And
yes,
it's really good. Good, you know, sure. Union leaders, they understand when they do it all the time, but the fact of the point, he's not involved in a piece of paper because he's both the ladies, by the way, they're just going to get a cut.
Just to kind of piggyback on the how we're disseminating this information to our employees, the ones we already have, Mark will also be participating in new hire orientation to do a brief overview of how this works and why it's important and how it's the engine that kind of drives our ability to do these other things that are important to our employees. So that's coming.
Okay, we've got about 25 minutes left. Which one, Marty?
I'm looking at the reason why I got involved with what some of them already discussed. And I'm not in any particular order. The retention problem is the biggest thing. It's the biggest thing out there throughout the nation. And we've got to try and solve that. And, you know, some of this communication and time, we've got time out and Scott's clock, somebody's got to want that clock. Well, if it's this clock, it's just not going to get fixed any other way because we don't have $20 million over here to fix that pension problem. So we've got to continue to educate them, let them understand that this is the way that the world has gone, and we've just got to stop that. The other thing is FMPA. You know, not only is Crystal River, but the bond swaps is the thing that's coming up in 2015. And having a little bit of knowledge of bond market for that, I just thought I'd feel like I got put into the right place. But there is going to have to be a decision as to how much we're going to lose. And it's the timing of that, making that decision, that's going to hopefully minimize that loss. Hopefully be able to relay the information back to you guys through the FMPA news, where how that goes. And hopefully we can get to a point where it is a net loss of zero. But we're looking at it with 50 million or 150 million right now, which is going to impact like a chili rate. So we need to follow that and then again keep people advised of what's going on so when it comes, it's not as much of a shock. I've been on the outskirts of downtown development now for 15 years, being involved with the chamber and the EDC, and hearing about Fawkes and Rogers and all those things, and the Sprint Building, and the Bank of America, all that. It's time we need to do something, whether it's just moving that Fawkes structure forward so we can say, hey, we have it now. So, like the people in the very first building, they'll come. At least going forward, the geo study department, is it even possible? We don't know. We talked about it, so we need to at least be able to bring it down. If the whole town doesn't go forward. Balancing the budget is obviously something that everybody strives for. I think everybody comes into offices to look for something like that. And I just can't find $5 million to the school system didn't think somehow resolve that issue. Get the school system and talk about the bees and all that. And then lastly, Boston Recreation, I think, is the biggest thing that we can do from, you know, a citizen's perspective of what the city or the county is supposed to be doing. It's the quality of life. Those are things that we need to keep escalating. I realize it involves money, but it also is the biggest economic driver of other companies coming in here. Again, as I mentioned, healthcare, education, and quality of life is what we're looking for. So Brian, continue to work on that. You've done a great job. I was on the service science center board and we looked at moving from Brick City to Scott Springs. That was exciting for us at that time. That would change to a better location, I think. But that was my first real go around with Scott Springs without seeing what's happening. It's, you know, from Washington side. So it's pretty exciting to have the right view of the city. Like my commerce, all that type of stuff. I think we should work on that. So this again, escalating what we can do. There are, you know, with the Discovery Science Center, they're doing a partnership with the Rotary. Maybe there are other things out there that we can follow with, trying to do some of those things there. But they're running golf tournaments all the time to support the renovation of the city's committed to the renovation of the upstairs of the center. Things like that, if we get those partnerships going, I think we'll work well.
Take a look at the list. Does it capture ideas?
Okay.
Council, any questions?
Yep.
He brings a very good point on the paper slots.
But it's out there, it's just, you know,
yeah.
We forget about it sometimes.
Yeah. And also the school.
And maybe Mr. Oliver will have an update.
Mr. Oliver,
September 1st, 2015. We've got to negotiate with our counterparties. We've got to have a project or prepare to pay the termination costs. So.
Did we say the best for last?
No. I wrote down more in general in the first person what I think about Ocala and what we have and what we don't. What we are striving. So with that, if anybody wants to read, I wrote it on first person. I just, if you want to look at it, fine, you know, it's okay. Just let them know. Yeah. I'm kidding.
We did that in late bottom last night, too?
Yes. You know, this is like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
That, yes, sir. You told me to get something up. I did. I just wrote up a few things that have been on my mind for Ocala over my whole years of living here and looking into the, what goes on in the city and the city government. And we just, I think Ocala is getting, and which I wanted to have, an effective leadership and a purpose and teamwork for our community, encourage citizens to get involved, and, you know, and we invest in our people here, the people of Ocala. Also, we talked about transparency. We need to include the citizens in everything we do, reduce the waste that we have, or if we don't have, but check it, be sure that we don't have a lot of waste. And we need to focus on everything positive, like we've been with the ballpark. And although we didn't come out with too many things positive, we're going to break. Ocala, to me, is the heart of all of this whole state of Florida. We have five major roads coming through Ocala. Person comes down the center of Ocala, he's got to come, I mean, center of the state of Florida, he's got to pass through. So we need to find a destination. We need to make Ocala a destination. And doing that, you can't do it with a hotel and things downtown. You need to do it with what we have. Silver Springs is a destination. The historical Fort King is going to be a destination. The Silver Springs Museum, the Appleton. We have that. We need to play on it. We need to bring it to the forefront. We can do parking garages, which is fine. We can do hotels, which is fine. I'm not against all that. But they're not a destination. A destination is so for people to come and stay. Just like the tennis courts, or baseball the Little League we have, or the Little League, you know, coming, and they're making this a destination. That's how you're going to get more economic growth with bringing people here. You know, at one time over the before Disney World, I know we can't compare it, but Silk Springs used to bring over 2 million people a year. Well, it looks like the state's going to put a lot of money into it, at least they're saying this because it's an election year coming up. But that's something we can make really do. And the hotels will probably help spend the night in Ocala and show them a good time, have your vendors, events going on, like Mark has been doing in Ireland. I think that is terrific. But it's not going to bring people from out of town in here. It's going to bring people from the county into Ocala. But you want that outside money. And if you've got venues here like Silver Springs and different things like that, the people that live at FedEx, they say, look what we've got to do around here. So we need to make Ocala a destination. That's the biggest point I can make.
You got to add destination.
Leverage location.
No.
Destination.
Ocala is a destination. You've got to make it a destination. I'm sure all of y'all realize how we, even back in the 1840s, when they had the fort out here, there was a destination from Tampa to Ocala, a dirt road, and it was engineered and surveyed to come all the way from Tampa to Fort Kent. So Ocala is still the destination. You got to go through Ocala to get to the state. East Coast, West Coast. That's, you know, about the school thing. Yes, we need to get better with them. We need to mend with them and not give in. Not say give in. But we need to sit down and really get some talk. And by the way, today, I think we're almost on our workers, but that's not the quote. Please do it.
He's almost on the verge of having a conversation.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
But that, you know, in the county commission, I think we need to learn them better, like John said. I know two or three of them really close. I can say, yeah, some of them get their feelings hurt, like I said, it's not worth it. But I think if we really sit down on a one-to-one basis and say, what are you doing? You know, get it straight, let's work together. Because we still are the hub and the heart of this county. And, you know, I could go back and talk for 2 hours, but we need to be proactive, not reactive. And it's just one of those things, and I'm telling you this from my heart, that Ocala is one of the finest places to live. We can bring people in here from now on if we do it right. But it's got to be a destination to bring them.
Not a pass through.
Not a pass through. It's got to be something here that will bring. You need hotels, you need parking garages, you need everything else. You've got to have something to keep that they want to come. FedEx is not going to want them to come. They might want to come down and add something else. But no, that's not going to bring that type of person you want in here. And I think you understand what I'm saying. So with that, I'll just stop because I can keep going.
Let's open up to the other.
And I agree with John and the rest of all their comments about budgets and everything. That goes without saying. But I think we need to look at this other and help bring more economic development here this way.
Councilman? One thing I think we're all is just following up on this.
I think as far as turning Ocala into the destination, that's maybe part of our job, but it's not all of our job. We do have to look at things and accommodate people when they're making their work. I think it's part of the task of the Tourist Development Council to be able to present that.
That's why I was formed, that maybe would come to us to plan to raise the county commission to increase the tax that they're collecting right now, so they could be more powerful. Because again, it's not made by anybody but people, unless you're catching up with somebody you shouldn't be in a hotel. If you're not paying that tax, it's really going to count. So this is quite possible. Present this as a destination. Let's use their power. Let's not go for their power. What they know as a tour of development people. We've got to work on all the infrastructure to accommodate this. Let's go put on a real test to be able to do that. There are a lot of things, but again, that's why we have those people out there.
Yes, that's why we're leaders.
That's why we're sitting. But leaders also delegate to the right people.
Yeah, but the right people hadn't come up with anything.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
We've come a long way in the last 10 years with the position. Yeah, all the social is not in the civilians of God. Although, going to our annexation discussion yesterday.
Even then.
Again, it falls down to, you know what? We've got to do our part and be control. And you know, we've got county come along, TNC, and everything else.
And they all allow back a little bit of cooperation over there. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I mean, getting more cooperation, more understanding that we're all watching news in the same direction. That in order to improve the quality of life, these are things you got to do. Once you start doing that, you're back on business. It's just like a magnet.
And I'm glad you brought that. And go back to the whole thing with the managed insurance solution that I'm saying. We're never going to get economic development unless we have the county, the CEP, and the city all involved. Anytime we ever try to do that without all three of us on the same page, it's been a disaster. So, yeah, those are things we should start.
I'm hoping, you know, we were divided in years past, especially I think the county started it. We had the EDC. Obviously, there was all the talk about who's paying, the city's paying, the county's paying, and then all of a sudden the county started growing economic development people and sort of circumventing what the EDC was doing. I'm hoping now with this new CDP, which, you know, I mean, although I'm very glad I voted against the merger, because one of the way I think it was presented was wrong. I'm very happy with the outcome now. I think with the leadership that we have, now we did that. That they're always working in the right step. Actually, we did have them trying to reform at the same time this was coming up, so maybe now that we've got them to reform, had we been able to go back in time to do this, it would have been
a different. Let me bring up one other thing, and I'm sure all of you have been to Lakewood and seen their convention center downtown.
Yeah.
They have a tremendous venue. We're lacking.
Right.
And I know we could have probably done one out here by the end of the stadium, but not that we don't have anything going right this minute.
Because if you look at the Florida Agricultural Center of Water Park, which have out there, Ohio 75, or getting 4, the original concept of that thing many, many years ago was the building you mentioned, sir. Is there one there today? No.
But I'm talking about my camp.
No, I realize that. It's not down there. One is because it's a little bit outside of Ocala, but it's perfect for horse people. But maybe we need to look at trying to find this joint venture, because we all identify we need it. Where is the best place in trying to get everybody to get over?
Well, I have some ideas, but that's not the point. The point is, you bring conventions here, and they could use hotel downtown or wherever, have something close to downtown. Go to the springs, go to the action, go, you know, I don't know if y'all realize, there's over $19 million of displays in there that the school owns, the foundation owns. And that's a lot for a little town. I think we've got a lot of good things going on that people don't know about. But a convention center was really be a fantastic thing for us.
Any other comments?
Cross-cutting?
things you see, you know, with shrinking dollars, it's those partnerships and stakeholders and relationships just grow in importance. So often when we think about, sometimes we're not as good as that, changing times, those are core competencies we can start building on. Certainly, it's not the private sector, is it? They are out there not trying to do it themselves, but create those alliances and partnerships. So it's almost first creating the why, get their heart in. The details will come. When you go to the details first, sometimes. I think you did really well these past two topics. Do each of you feel like you were heard and staff was able to hear?
Yes.
And we're going to give you an A plus on yours. I'm going to put a star on that one. Jay, before you go, I
got canceled.
Oh, it did. We want to transition to the next topic and the budget priorities and another really candid conversation that Matt has opened for each of you as they begin to prepare their line item budget to move forward with that.
I thought the discussion you just concluded was fabulous. I thought very insightful. My staff a lot of great direction as we look at carrying your vision forward. So I want to say thank you to each of you. What I want to do is talk to you a little more in depth about your budget priorities. Let me get very specific with you on this for a moment. A moment ago, Dave invited you to kind of share with us your thoughts about the budget. And I think it was universal that you wanted to get a balanced budget. And many of you mentioned some ideas, some tools that we could use as a staff to reach that balanced budget. For example, reserves. For example, transfers from enterprise funds. What I'm more interested in knowing, quite frankly, is what's off limits. What's off limits? For example, is a rate increase, a tax increase off limits? Is a wage or a reduction off limits, like furloughs? Is it, you know, that off limits? I need to know what is off limits. So as we put this strategy together and present you a balanced budget this summer, we haven't done something, nothing is full. So I've heard transfer strategy, I've heard reserve strategy. What's really off limits in your mind's eye for staff in trying to get this balanced budget?
I don't think our economy is falling off the taxpayers.
Especially when we do have the ability to make things happen. Yes, transfers and other ways, but we have a way to make it happen.
Matt, do you want me to scribe these? Is they're up on a flip chart or no?
Oh, I've got it here. If that's okay.
Okay.
So, any reduction in staff wage benefits, that off limits?
Well, I don't want you to reduce fire or police or electric. So employees that are in general fund, I think that's what you need to do, and that's your call.
Okay, so taking a hard look at are we overstaffed in some areas? You know, technology allows things to be done more expediently and all that stuff. Sometimes people work themselves out of the job and they're going to get reframed by other things. Don't really want anybody to go, but I think we need to take a hard look at that and see if there is more.
It's a pretty good job.
We have, but the point's well taken. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How many employees are down since
Now recognize, when you say general employees, that includes police and fire, but they are under a collective bargaining agreement. So,
I would say that
would
be police and fire.
Okay.
It's a public safety element.
Okay.
And the second one is a public safety
element. Okay. Let me move on then. We've got a list of kind of your priorities, your vision. What are your must-haves what are your emphases for that budget? For example, I think Grant yesterday, you said something about, you know, I'd like to get some raises for staff. Is that a must-have? Or if you can't work out any, we do. Give your sense on the must-haves for that budget.
I would like to see some kind of raise for people that haven't had raises in the past 5 years. But I don't know if we can afford it. So if you can work on it, look at it. Look at something instead of it $500 in the year, I think you'd appreciate it more than anything. Raise. But I can't think this is important. So I have to back off and say, look at it close. I think my counterpart.
I would agree with Councilman Oliver that a raise would go a long way for preparing some of the relationships.
Yes.
We have to be able to afford it.
Okay. Understood. Okay.
I think a raise would be short-lived in their mind, too, and then we'll get back into some kind of those. I think creating value in their position to get a raise across frameworks in other areas now gives them a better value rather than something across the board. And of course, training obviously helps the future and sort of eliminates to as people move forward, you have to have a fact of that position.
Yeah.
And you know about that cross training and playing for it up, but go look at, and I don't know how well it's working, but he said it's working great. Go look at the tax collector, what he did. He got rid of so many employees, he cross trained everybody in here, and they can do everything.
Yeah.
I think. In my field, right, I've already seen that happen already. I just think it's something that needs to be constantly looked at.
Absolutely.
Again, not because of inefficiency of people, but efficiency of technology that's allowing us to do things better and quicker in some cases. So, again, somebody said you can't send a computer for a police car or something like that. Those things are important. Sure. There are other areas. And then, of course, training develops those things, just like your program, the SMART program, and stuff like that.
It will be. And hopefully we'll have the benefit of that March-ish, the first timeline, I understand. So you'll be able to incorporate whatever findings we need from that in the budget as well. But as we start in earnest preparing the budget for fiscal year 14-15, is there any other must-haves that like we have in that budget?
Well, of course, that came up every time.
Absolutely.
Every council member showed up. I think that's something that's
it's got
to do with economics. That means we need to be, you know, careful and do things.
Okay.
If the best we could do is a $200,000 shed and build a skate park for this budget, that's so much.
Sure.
Which that typically does. So,
sure. No, I understand.
I met with Sandra and she talked to me about the success to
source
students. Source.
Mm-hmm.
And she was showing me how much you could save on your pensions and your. Have you considered that or thought of that?
Oh, yes. We talked about it a great deal in cabinet. Got a great sense of comfort in it, and now we can meet with the council members individually about it.
We did. I guess everybody's. But that can save a whole lot of money.
Yes.
If we had the right word and stuff like this. Do you get it?
Absolutely. We have, I think staff done a great job at employing all reasonable strategies for addressing this slow economic recovery. You know, we talked about the Great Recession and just how deep and how prolonged it was in this area. Unfortunately, the recession is now one of the longest post-recovery recessions we've ever had, too. You know, so it's just compounding our issue. But I think staff have done a great job at being more innovative, being more resourceful, looking at all options, trying to turn over the rocks, see if there's opportunities. questioning past practices, simply not accepting past practices as a standard, but questioning it. Let me tell you a couple things that I've instructed the staff, so you're aware when they submit their budgets to me, what my expectations are. In essence, I'm not expecting any new employees requests at this time. I've asked staff to do what I call a zero-based budget. Let me tell you what that is. Generally, governments are notorious for saying, departments saying, well, I spent $1,000 last year, so this year I'm going to spend $1,000 plus 3% or $1,000 subtract 3%, you know, based upon requests. But they never really look at those budgets. They never really look at what can be carved out, what can be done with that. And so zero-based budget is really challenging staff to start from zero. Zero-based budget, start from zero and build that budget based upon your core functions and the city council's vision and mission. Questioning all assumptions, questioning all past practices, no sacred cows, and rebuilding that back up. And so the expectation is that there's no budget submitted to me that is of a greater amount than it was last year. And if there is a cost driver, that you find some place within the budget to find an offset to it, because you've got the pension costs and health insurance costs that we still got to figure out how to fund. And if necessary, I've told staff we may return back to them and ask for budget. You know, that might be one of the strategies that we don't know at this time. We're still doing revenue projections, trying to curb knowledge, we're still trying to get a better idea of what the expenditures are. I just want you to understand what the expectations have been communicated to staff. We will take your instructions, which I think are tremendous, and try to incorporate those as best we can. We're mindful of the what's off limits. We're pretty mindful of that, and we'll work that accordingly. We understand the must-haves. We understand the issues of raises. Certainly understand that, and do our best to address that as we can. Is there any other things from my staff, especially Diane and Cindy, in terms of instructions that we will need to complete that budget development process?
Each department can also look at the budgets that they have budgeted for this calendar year and go, okay, is this one council priorities? And is this particular project something we have to do this year, or can we move it back a year or two? Fire station is something we
can do. Exactly.
So, I know you guys have done that in the past, but let's look at this year or next year, because a lot of times we'll have money funded for something and it could be done now or could be done 2 years. That's the thought.
No, it's a great one. It's certainly a valuable strategy. Absolutely. Thanks, Cindy. I'm particularly interested in your comments. Any ideas or anything you need at this point?
No, nothing for me.
All right, Dave, I'll turn it back over to you.
I think we hear everything. Is there
anything missing? That's the last one. I've got just a couple things, if I may, just housekeeping items. Interesting, this morning on the Wall Street Journal, I'll show this to you. I'll pull this up really quick. There's an article, if you have access to Wall Street Journal, you might look at this. It's called The Employee of the Month Has a Battery. And the article's emphasis is about the private sector. Because of Obamacare, because of the talk about increasing minimum wage, but looking at mechanizing your staff, doing away with staff, utilizing phone devices, computers to do the work. Nothing new, except for example, here they talk about companies such as Chili's, California Pizza Kitchen, Chevy's Fresh Mix, doing away with staff, so when you go into the restaurant to order, you can use your phone to send your order into the back room. They'll bring you when it's done, you go pick it up yourself to eliminate or reduce the staff size. I thought that was very interesting because it's very apropos to what we're trying to do in terms of trying to leverage technology without sacrificing customer service, which is so, so important. I thought that was a very interesting article. A couple other items. We've got some information on the skate rink. Let me show that really quick. But recall yesterday, council asked, what was return on investment year one, and we got those numbers.
We made about $40,000. Well, we budgeted $38,000 to purchase. the equipment, the ice rink and everything itself. We spent 35 doing that. We spent 45 in operating costs to operate the rink for that time frame, and we took in just a little over $40,000 in revenue. So we're looking at 3-year payback. So I think we're definitely right on track to make that 3-year payback. So
we are on track, and we had a lot of upfront costs this year because it was the first year that we won't have in the following year. And we also learned a lot about the scheduling. So one of the things that we learned, like during the week when school was still in, we probably were overstaffed, and we'll stretch that out to the next year. But we feel confident that we are in fact able to pay that money back in 3 years.
And then to the good point from a revenue standpoint, we did get actually $5,000 donations towards the operating staff. So it wasn't just all ticket and concessions. We did have private participation, which is $5,000.
What about seeing that company, put their name on the skating rink for a year, that advertisement for the McLeod Financial Services?
That's a great idea. We did put that $5,000.
I think the skating rink was a huge success. From what we paid for it, the minimal investment, I know it wasn't crowded all the time, but it seemed like at certain times it was a constant draw.
Oh, and on the weekends?
Yeah.
And those last few weeks when kids were out of school, yeah. It was packed.
And you know the only complaint I got about the thing? Would it cost much to make it more?
It'll cost a little bit, not a whole lot, and we're looking into that. It's very easy to add on to it. There are a lot of puzzle pieces that you put together.
A couple of things just to wrap up. Yesterday we talked at length about pensions. You know, we talked about the performance of the stock market in 2013. It had pretty strong performance. The blue chips, Dow Jones, they were pretty strong. And it was interesting, yesterday, the Fed Central Bank announced another round of tapering yesterday, moving it down from $75 billion per month to $65 billion. And the stock market saw like a 5% decline in blue chips, 1.2% decline in Dow. And I bring this up because the stock market has been buoyed up artificially by the quantitative easing program. In essence, the central bank has said, we got your back, go out there and invest, take risks, because we've got your back. Well, now that the Fed are trying to taper, the stock market's gonna go into a new norm, and we don't really know what that is, right? And how that will play out with our pension investments. So I bring that up because there was some sense yesterday that, you know, times are good in 2013, it's likely to continue. It's probably not. It's probably not. And it's likely not likely to continue at a pace to make every round that we lost, 2008, 2009, 2010, and so forth. So I thought that was interesting. Lots of things I've got is I want council to know that after the council adjourns here in a little bit, my staff had a continued meeting through the afternoon to look at operationalizing your vision and your request. And then we're going to meet again tomorrow with senior leadership all day to again share with them what you've spoken to us about, get their input on how to operationalize it, getting their input and ideas as well. So I want to let you know that we'll be working hard the next day and a half on operationalizing what we talked about the last day and a half. Last two things is I want to publicly acknowledge my staff. I think I've got a tremendous staff. I think what I've got good at is hiring people that are better than me, that are smarter, more capable. I'm like a 5, and they're like 7, 8, 9. And I think that's what I'm good at doing, and I think I've got a tremendous staff. I want to thank them, and I want to thank the people that they work with, because we've got a tremendous team that's backing up. And I also want to acknowledge City Council. I'm not aware of a city council who's had to leave in more tough times. for the challenge that we've had economically, pension-wise. It's a difficult time to lead with a lot of challenges, but time and time again, council has stood up, made the decisions that had to be made, and you honored and applauded for that, and I appreciate your willingness to show that leadership. That's all I have.
Closing comments?
Well, I think it's very productive this year. It seems like this year we've got more than nuts and bolts of how from the city and make it move forward. I know we didn't find all the Mr. Paul questions, but we're sure we're going to try.
You know, council members, final comments?
Well, I think a lot of what I've seen is we're working a lot in unison. We have a lot of common ideas. We have seen progress in a lot of different things, i.e. the downtown area, because then development, they have to put that big wow factor, like a whole several parking garage around, working that way. It's something that's not very important. So we've got the ideas and thoughts to continue that. You know, Citizen Circle and all those other things that are like us. They're big hits for what they are, they're not big in the whole environment. But I think that's probably the biggest problem.
I think that this was a terrific day and a half for me. Never too old to learn. I really enjoyed being here, and I got to know the staff, and their feelings better. And Matt, I agree with you. They're all on the 7 and 8 figures. I mean, the 12s and 14s don't go up there. And I just enjoy working with y'all. And, we'll keep it up. We'll be as a team. Jay?
Yeah. Going over the goals again was good. Cal has an economic hub. Has some success stories there, Mark. We haven't even seen the beginning of that. And well, that's going to be a fantastic project. Our quality of life is brought back. There's no better place to live than Ocala, Florida, even though it's 38 degrees and raining. I just looked at the weather forecast and it will be 83 and sunny on Saturday. I've enjoyed it. I'd like to acknowledge that you're down with Councilwoman this week, Councilwoman Mary Sue Rich, and I certainly missed her the last day and a half. She provides an excellent perspective on the city, having served on council for 16 or 20 years. I'm not sure, but she's been there a number of years, and I'm hoping that she'll be back in the city. Hopefully next week.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully, it's all right.
Well, I'm for somebody to staff to reach out and tell them that we were asked not only to come to the well, but to see the next week.
Absolutely.
That brings me over a little small thing. Mr. Moore's son, in the hospital and in Gainesville, and I don't know if you know that. Council model is like that. Anytime that somebody can work with the hospital's problem,
another thing, I don't know how many people go back to the property phase, but we were working for that last time.
Oh, really?
We were working for that last
time.
Yeah,
that's my best. He's going to his son. He's going to school with his son.
What's that?
He went to school with his son.
Oh, did he? Vermont?
Should.
I'll
tell you. I'm going to do it. I'm sorry, dude.
Okay. Have a great day. Keep warm and keep dry.
We do have lunch coming.
We do. I don't know what time we told her to be here.
December within the end of the day, for 20 minutes. So you're welcome to hang for that visit. But we picked a bit early. I think it's coming for the next little bit.
I will call and find out right this very moment.
Did a lot of heavy lifting last day and a half. You guys did a lot of heavy lifting last day and a half.
Who was it?
Who was it? Should have
called him. We haven't talked to
him
yet.
Hey, Jackie. It's Janine. How are you?
Listen, they touched
my phone. I was calling to let Maureen know that we're done.
Oh, yeah.